Want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Aight.
Yep.
Aight, 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 aight.
Yeah.
Aight.
Yeah.
I've got some groaners here, Granny.
Do you now?
I do, but I would not. I would not feel right doing groaners right now.
Really? Why?
Give me one moment.
Right. One moment is given.
Okay, more than one moment.
It's the pre-show. I
will give you 5 moments.
More than? Well, I don't know. Give me an unlimited amount of. Well, what the hell?
You have an unlimited minutes. You have an open-ended moment.
Okay. This is a part of radio that guys get fired. A close radio friend of mine, and certainly a friend of Mike's as well, and a friend of everybody at this show, Big Don O'Brien got fired yesterday.
Oh, no.
He got back together with the guy that he used to work with, you know, 20 years ago, and they were going to do an afternoon show that on the oldie station in Baltimore, WQSR.
Perfect. Right.
And I don't know all of the facts about why they were fired.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to say this. I don't know this guy, Brian Wilson, that Don O'Brien, my friend, worked with.
Well, I've never met the guy either.
Neither have I. I know that he had a thriving business before he teamed back up with Don O'Brien to be on the radio, and I'm sure he'll go back to it.
Yeah.
Listen, Don O'Brien has no idea that I'm going to say this today on the radio, okay?
Uh-huh.
I talked with Don last night. He was distraught. You got fired.
Sure.
I want to say something to the management of this Infinity broadcast station, WQSR in Baltimore. This is a fine radio station that plays oldies. You know, whatever happened with Brian and O'Brien, okay, it's history. It's gone. It's blowed up. However, you can't tell me that you don't have a place on that radio station for Don O'Brien, who had worked there flawlessly and done every, and I know because I talked to him, done every piece of crap, remote, extra piece of business that the station ever wanted him to do in 7 years. You want to go, can I tell you something? It's no fun to go broadcast from the goddamn Maryland State Fair.
Right.
Do you know how many years he did that in a row?
How many?
Seven.
Oh my God. We, in the business, people that have been in it a long time, remotes and going out to car dealerships and going out to festivals, that falls under the category paying your dues.
That's right. Not to mention the guy has got a history in Baltimore. Back in the day, if you remember on Channel 13, Dialing for Dollars,
sure,
that was Big Don.
I think everybody that's grown up in Baltimore knows Don O'Brien.
And Mike, that's exactly my point. When we goof on Marty Bass from Channel 13, you know why we goof on Marty Bass? And we've patched things up with Marty Bass. As a matter of fact, Fried and I are going to go up there and be on his Ravens TV show in a couple of weeks. It's because Marty Bass there, hon, you know what he is? He's a Baltimore, Maryland institution.
Baltimore, even unlike Washington, D.C., has these guys that have been on the air up there. They have these individuals, and Don O'Brien's one of them. And it's different than D.C. because they, you know, everybody knows these guys.
And here's what I want to say about Big Don, and I can't...
I'm glad that you're saying that.
I can't speak to the other guy because I don't know him, but I do know this about Don O'Brien, that he has a passion for radio. He loves being on the radio. He loves talking up the records. He loves doing the phone bits. He loves doing all of that type radio stuff. He'd do it for nothing, just like I'd do it for nothing. And the message to the people at WQSR is, you're not going to find somebody else who brings what Don O'Brien brings, which besides the fact that he is a Baltimore landmark, and laugh if you will, he is. And besides the fact that he's a hard worker, I'm telling you, the guy loves radio. It's killing him not to be on the radio, that things happen the way that they happen. And I can't imagine at WQSR that after 7 freaking years of working there by himself and doing a great show, getting great ratings, and never rocking the boat, and like myself, he's a guy who has battled some problems.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing great. He's finally got all his S together. He's worked in there for 7 years. He had 9 months on this other show that didn't go good. Where does the other 7 years come into play? You know, you're going to break up that team? Well, okay, they're broken up.
Well, they've had problems in the past. Everybody that knows the business knows that there's. It's not, you know, in fairness to those guys, they're not all teams like you and I when two guys can work together for 20 years. They've had their issues, and I think, frankly, that I was aware the first go-around that, you know, it's tough. They have a very tough working relationship. They always have.
But having said that, and like I said, Brian Wilson will do fine. He's the other guy that worked with Don O'Brien and Mike. You're right. You know, not to go on about us here because I don't want to, but you're not going to get, they're not going to get, you don't work with a guy for 2 years, then don't work with him for 15, and then think you're going to get it back together. You know, a lot of people ask me, why do you say Rob is your best friend? When I go out with him, people say, isn't Mike your best friend? I say, no, Mike is my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's a difference. And I can't tell you what it means without getting into jive like NFL BS cliches about the one person I never worry about is Mike. Never. On any sense. Because I got his back and he's got mine.
Right. Don't make me cry at the beginning of the show.
But that is a fact.
Yeah. All right. Thank
that
you.
Simply is a fact. You take down one of us, you take down both of us.
It's always been that way.
When I said the S word and it got out on the radio, you know, someone else could have said, hey, pal, good luck. You're fired. I'm staying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike and I have contracts that we've had written so that no matter what happens, whichever one of us screws up,
mm-hmm.
we both get canned.
Right.
Because we trust each other.
That's right.
Now, unfortunately, Don O'Brien didn't have it with this other guy, Brian Wilson.
And he is, you know, as you know, we both know him well, he is a sensitive guy, and I think that gets under his skin. I think it's very, very difficult for him, but everything you're saying about him is spot on.
And Bob Phillips, that you Infinity guy, you love to have me sit up there and chat with me about radio, you're always asking me my opinion, like you really think it matters. Here is my opinion. Get your tail out from between your legs and work out a big deal with Big Don. And just get him back on the radio playing records.
One thing you didn't mention about Big Don, really, in my opinion, one of the funniest guys I've ever met. One of the most naturally funny guys. And if you let him be funny on the radio, I mean, he's a natural. He's a natural.
He doesn't even remember. I've been friends with him for so long. He doesn't remember the very first time, even before Winx, that I ever got on a radio. Was at 14 Fun Lovin', 14 ZYQ in Frederick, Maryland, when I was 13 years old, and had a friend drive me to the station, and Big Don O'Brien was the DJ, and that's how I got into ZYQ,
wow.
Which led me to go to all these other little crappy stations. But mm-hmm. even back, he's a little older than me. Back then, he had the same thing that I've got, that everybody, the radio is no different than any other business. If it's your passion, if you love it, and there are days when I hate it, but I truly love it, there's nothing better. And to take this away from Don O'Brien now, when he's done it, you know, nobody can give me a reason this guy should be canned. WQSR, be a classy stand-up radio station, hire the guy back. You know, if it's a battle with the program director because he was talking before, I'm sure he'd be fine going back to doing what he used to do.
Absolutely.
And you don't know how much joy this guy would get out of being on the radio. And to show you what a radio schmuck I am, and I think I've mentioned this before, back when Big Don did the night show on WQSR in Baltimore, when I'd be leaving D.C. to go to Ocean City for the weekend with my family, I would listen to Don O'Brien when you cross the Bay Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you lose our station, you pick up the Baltimore station. So I listened to this station in Baltimore. And this guy would just, every time I'd listen, he would just crack my ass up. And I would call him up. On the request line,
right.
I'd call him up. I go, hey.
Like a listener.
Hey, how are you doing? And eventually he'd say, yeah, do you want to go on the air?
Right.
I'd say, yeah. And I get excited.
Yep.
Now, I just spent 5 hours on my own radio show, and I'm driving in a car. But I'm excited because in 2 minutes, I'm going to hear my voice on the radio requesting a record by the Faggot Grassroots.
Big Don has always been a larger-than-life kind of guy.
And
I've always felt that way about the guy. I always have.
That makes great radio. And the fact that he could spark that in me, he sparks that in his listeners. And WQSR, you are missing the boat if you don't hire this guy back. And if you don't, Bennett Zier, if you're listening at Clear Channel, I know you just fired Goldie, a bunch of other people at Oldies 100. You shouldn't even think about it. This guy should have a job by COB today. Close of business today. He's got a good heart. He's a good guy. He's a talented guy.
Even when you're talking about Don O'Brien and you're talking about, you know, in a very tough time for him, I'm smiling the whole time because I'm just thinking about Don O'Brien. And any time the man has ever been in a room with me, I'm smiling. He's one of there are not many guys like that. Yeah. They don't exist. And I'm not going to say something to make, you know, sound like an old fart and say, there are not many guys like that left. No, I'm going to say, there aren't and never have been many guys like that. And he's one that's special. He really is. Yeah. He's so damn funny.
Nice guy.
And I just love it when he's on the radio, too. I really do. You have such a history with him. You go back such a long way. I've known him half the time that you've known him. And he's just a funny, wonderfully talented guy.
I mean, and for the rest of you guys around the country, this is just a disc jockey in Baltimore. But really, in Baltimore, it's more than that. So, come on, WQSR. Get your head out of your butt. You know, make the calls you got to make. Call the dude up. I'm sure he's sitting at home just staring at the phone going. Well,
hopefully they're listening in the hallways up at our station at Live 105 right there. Hopefully they're turning the monitors up so that, the management in that little narrow hallway up there can hear this.
You know, I am such a supporter of Don O'Brien. You know, and incidentally, whoever it is at Infinity that fired him, whichever one of you dopes it is that fired him and you should hire him back, which one of you guys was it, as long as you're firing people, that when I was at the Modell function before the Ravens season, I don't remember which one of you guys it was that wanted to sit me down, one of these Infinity guys sat me down and was saying, what do you think about the Brian and O'Brien show? I said, I think it's great. They said, what did you think about if we moved it to Live 105 to our station in Baltimore so they wouldn't have to play records? I said, listen, I think Don O'Brien's fantastic. I don't know the other guy. They're great. Mm-hmm. Sure, bring them along. Mm-hmm. I mean, how could a guy's stock fall so much in 4 months that 4 months ago you're talking to me in confidence about a move that you ended up not making with this guy's show to where he gets canned? He just gets S-canned.
That's not right.
You know? Bring it back. Let him play the records. That's all. Just do the right thing. 1027 WQSR.
Amen.
Baltimore. Okay?
Well done.
That's all.
Good.
Okay.
Glad you said it. Good guy, and good luck to Don O'Brien.
Yeah. Have a hey now, please.
Hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's get retarded in here.
And you know, I'm sure you're thinking, you're such a good friend, I should give him a job on this show. You want to say that? Pound sand.
Hello.
No room at the end.
No, this show is petrified.
Yeah.
Oh, hi there.
Hi, John. Good luck tonight with the T-Bay.
Hello.
Okay. Hi, Dynamite. We appreciate it.
Hello.
Everybody. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
The ships at sea. It's the favorite radio show of Charlie M., Don Geronimo, and Mike O'Meara!
Charlie M.!
You can call Don and Mike.
I'm sorry, you heard that one already. We moved some of the buttons around.
Hello!
Don and Mike Show, that's what you're listening to. A new episode.
Hello.
On this Wednesday, 1-3-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here. No, he's not retarded.
There you go. And the show is on the air.
How exciting is that? I'd like to apologize up front if my voice is a little hoarse today.
Wow. Right.
Game last night. I did a little screaming.
Right. Yeah, I invested some time in your team. I watched. They battled back. I feel good. They battled back.
I really do. I really don't feel bad.
The Yankees had them down.
They were out. They were losing 8-0.
Had the foot on the throat. It was like the Tennessee over Green Bay Monday night. I thought it was all over right away. They come back to make it 8-7.
I told somebody that that's the kind of game, if the shoe was on the other foot, if the Red Sox were in that position, I would have said, man, I don't even care if they win right now, because they squandered that lead. But the Red Sox didn't quit, and I was real happy.
The Midget Man goes tonight?
Midget Man goes tonight without question. The biggest game of his career. You know, he's got to be the guy to step up. They go down 0-2 tonight. I'm going to be holding up a white flag on Friday.
Do you think for those...
On Thursday.
For those who will be watching the game, because, you know, the game's on against the debate.
You get an hour of the game, or you get maybe like 40 minutes of the game,
and then
right to the debate. It's very frustrating.
I'm wondering, during that time, or even at any time during the broadcast, will they show Pedro Martinez, good luck, midget, in the dugout or in the stands?
Yes, they do. Yes, Rob, it is the biggest game in the history of sport.
The biggest game ever. Yeah. Well, good luck, Mike. Tonight, we'll be rooting for the Red Sox against the evil Yankees.
Yes, the evil Yankees.
The evil Yankees. Ooh, and those fans. You know, I don't watch enough baseball to give you the true 100% I'm positive on this. Mm-hmm. But I've watched enough baseball to know that there are irritating people who sit behind home plate.
Sure.
But
Did you get cell phone people?
Yeah, no, not even cell phone. Am I wrong in saying that the New York fans, the Yankee fans, to watch them in the shots where they're right behind and they know that they're on TV, it makes me want to throw a baseball at the television.
I don't think I'm offending any of our listeners if when I say Yankee fans are subhuman.
And they know
I don't want to offend anyone.
No, don't take it wrong. Here's the thing. They are, and they know it. They've got that whole, yo, Yankee.
Right.
Hey, Sherling. Hey, where's your mommy? Sure. I'm your daddy.
Right, exactly.
And here's the thing. We are now more than 3 years past 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, you could not come out and say that you hated the Yankees fans.
No, you couldn't.
Because we were bonding and we were rebuilding and it was nice. But now, even though we still...
It was nice, but for me, a little uncomfortable.
Well, Mike. Sure.
Even though, you know, even right after 9/11.
It's back to regular.
Yeah,
It's back to regular.
Sure as hell is.
Screw them.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Screw
it really
them.
Is.
I'm with you, Mike. Red Sox, tonight.
I don't know why I feel good. I really don't. I think it's because they did come back,
and
they did not just throw their hands up in the air. Even though they lost the game last night, I feel differently. I should point out that last year, when the series went 7 games, the Red Sox won the first game, and then they lost in 7. So who knows what the future holds. I think, really, even though it's early, kind of a must-win tonight.
I'm just waiting to see if there's anything else. I mean, I want to give you as much time as you want to.
About my Red Sox?
Not literally.
What I'm frustrated is also...
I have an important experiment coming up, but I want to make sure that...
No, I'm done. I'm done. I'm pensive. I'm nervous. I got butterflies. But I'm also, you know, I want to watch the debate, damn it.
You'll be able to watch.
But that's hard to do with the debate.
No, it's not.
No, I know. I know.
No, it's not.
I'll flip over when the other guy's talking.
Right, absolutely.
There you go. That's easy.
Okay, so congratulations.
The funny stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
I might miss internet.
Congratulations in advance of the Red Sox.
Thank you.
That's why I'm sure you can watch the debate tonight. By the time the debate comes on, the Red Sox will be up like 2-3-0.
Well, I got Tebow.
Yeah, that's right. You got the TiVo box.
I think I'll watch the debate after the game.
Now, here we go. I wanted to do this experiment so long, and I finally coordinated a time with my wife, the working woman, where she's not downtown working at her job. She's at home today. She has gone to the grocery store. She has got the dog treats.
Good.
And we are now finally going to find out if my dogs respond. Now, let me give you a little background on this. Since my son went to college, and we always had a great call we got from him today.
Oh, really?
He's dyed his hair platinum blonde.
Oh, my God. Halloween's coming. Didn't he do that once before?
Yeah, but not on his own.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so anyway.
still long?
Yeah, it's still very long.
So he looks like Siegfried.
What he wants is a mullet.
Of course he does.
He wants a platinum blonde mullet.
Boy, oh, boy.
That's my boy.
Mm-hmm.
So, since he's been gone to college, my wife has gone back to work.
Uh-huh.
Which means when I leave to come to do this job that I love, the dogs are by themselves. And rather than leave a TV on, we leave a radio on.
Good.
And it's so that they can hear my voice. And,
right.
And I've always wondered if the dogs respond to my voice.
Yeah.
You know, and now I wish I had remembered. I wrote myself a note to ask Ron and Fez, although I felt too stupid, to ask Ron and Fez to ask my dog for cookies, because when our show is over at 7,
uh-huh.
my dogs listen to Ron and Fez between 7 and 7:30.
Right.
And Ron and Fez could have the same fun if they wanted to.
They could torture your dog.
If they knew if they knew the nights that Frida was working and the nights the radio was on. And, but I wouldn't want them to waste.
Technically, really, with the right sound effects, they might even be able to trash your house.
But I don't want but I don't want them to waste their time like saying cookie, cookie, cookie if we know that the dogs don't respond to their voices.
Right, exactly.
So that'll be experiment number two.
Very good.
I'll get Ron and Fez a last.
It sure as hell will be a number two experiment.
To tape their parts.
Should I send an email to Mr. O'Reilly? If you would say cookie, cookie, cookie.
Yeah, that's right. They have
what
to
say you, Clink?
They have to suffer through that at the beginning. Oh, here is
here he is eating. I always hate it when you're like finishing up a bite when you walk.
Baby.
Sugar, you know what? We've got next time we have to coordinate this better, because already the experiment has been askewed a little bit, because as soon as you said DOG the first time, they started barking.
Yeah.
And I'm upstairs. Yeah. I'm not even downstairs.
Oh, we're going to get to hear it today, which is very cool.
What, wow. Joey?
I was going to predict that they will react to your voice, because apparently my dog and my birds react when they hear me on the radio.
Joe.
Right. But thank now you, that you said
thank you for your
that
prediction.
That means you're talking to them, and now they're quiet. So now they've realized, oh, Daddy's just doing his show.
Yeah. Okay, so.
I predict I'm going to have another bite.
Is it possible? Is it possible that you could go downstairs to the kitchen?
Yes, but, you know, I'll be like one of those horrible listeners that you. Yes,
I know. But I want you to turn the radio on so I can hear the reaction of me saying, because remember what I say.
The radio's going downstairs already.
That's the radio's going
already
downstairs.
Reacted, and I'm going okay. down there, but right. I won't be able to.
I understand. It's 16 seconds until what I say comes out of the radio.
Right.
So I'm just going to fill now with time until you tell me that you're actually sitting down there at our little breakfast nook.
Okay.
So where are you at right now, baby?
Now we can hear the radio.
I'm going down there, but I won't be.
Okay, good. You'll have to turn the radio up a little bit.
Okay, there you go. Here I am.
Okay, so are you sitting where you have your breakfast?
I'll just sit here like I'm reading the paper.
Okay. Where are Daddy's boys? Where are my boys? Where are my good boys? Clinky! Rudy! Rudy! Hey, Max boy, who wants a cookie? Who wants a cookie? Who's Daddy's boys?
Right, now that we wait, we sit
and
wait?
Yeah.
16 seconds. Why can't I hear the radio?
What's she doing?
She did something.
What is she doing? Hello? Hey, wife?
It's like VCRs.
What are you doing? I couldn't hear the radio.
Well, I'm sitting here and the radio's loud. I'd make it even louder because no one stirred. Okay, so let me turn it up even. I'll turn it up.
You know, I heard it. I heard it louder.
You look crestfallen.
Because I was standing next to it. Yeah. All right.
What are you doing?
Now
I couldn't hear the radio.
Now it's extremely loud.
Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to say what I'm going to say and turn down this thing at home. Then I'll turn it back up and we'll hear if the dogs bark.
I can't even hear you now.
Okay.
What do you want me to do?
Just be quiet. I love you. Hi, boys. This is Daddy. Where's Clink? Hi, Max boy. Rudy. Who wants cookie? We're Daddy's boys. We're Daddy's boys.
Okay.
Hi, boys. This is Daddy. Where's Clink? I'm Max boy. Rudy.
Say Clink, come.
Who wants cookie?
Oh, all right.
Boy.
Colonel Clink. Come. Clink. Come.
Where's Clink? I'm Max boy.
And cut. That's a wrap. Making a porno joke.
Yes. Can I try something?
Hold on.
Nobody's moving.
All right, let me try
what's he doing, honey? Honey?
Okay, wait. Let me do it again.
What are the dogs doing?
Laying on the marble.
Oh, sorry. Can you turn it up again? I want to try something.
Oh, wait. Yeah, well, now that you turned the radio off, now they're barking.
The
I want to try something. Can I try something,
please?
All right,
Mike wants to try one.
All right, it's up loud.
Here we go. Anything? Karis? Krita? Anything? Baby? Anything?
Anything?
Let me turn it down. Wait a minute. Maxie yawned during that.
Do you do a cat? Do you meow?
No, no, not up today.
That wouldn't work anyway.
Meow.
All right, so I guess that theory is...
What if we played the cat sound effect?
These dogs are not stupid. They're your children. They know daddy's job. They're not just off the truck.
All right, hold on. I'll try one more.
Wait a minute. All right, let me turn you back up.
It's just a cat meow, but they're not going to react to that.
Okay.
Anyway, here
is
it
is. Is this the cat fighting?
No. Okay. All right, let's see.
Anyway, here is the cat fighting.
I hear him bark.
There you go.
Hey, honey? Honey? Hello, honey?
You can't hear the radio's too loud.
Frida? I can't tell what's our sound effects.
Well, now it's like a continuous
all right,
loop.
You got a little reaction.
Yeah.
A little one.
Not
okay.
Really. Not much.
All right, well, you know... I had always wondered.
Oh,
if,
look, and you know what? The mailman just drove away.
Oh, we distracted them.
That was not really an accurate test because I think they were barking at the mailman.
Oh, okay.
Okay, baby. All right, well,
Dogs are smart. Come on.
What,
I think
what?
That's good.
Well, I thought that they would actually respond.
Well, I think it's good that they didn't. They're more astute than we gave them credit for. You know, as opposed to Bart, who's constantly disappointing us, they proved to be smarter than we thought.
And say, I mentioned that. Were you disappointed today when he called from college to tell us that he had dyed his hair platinum blonde?
No, not a bit, because when I was in college, I dyed my hair different colors, too. But
honey, you're a girl.
Right. But... So it's all right with me.
I just I don't know if platinum blonde is...
It just makes him safer, as far as I'm concerned, because, as I said to him, it's not exactly a chick magnet. So he has more time to study, I figure.
All right. I will see you later, honey.
All right. Bye, sweetie.
All right. Goodbye. I love you.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye. There's another public service effort from the Don and Mike Laboratories.
There's nothing I like better than when we do medical experiments.
Mm-hmm. It didn't work. They're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Bad dogs.
Oh, no.
Bad dogs. Get out of here.
That's like when we do the bark off for cash.
Which right. One of you got into my room and did this? Bad dogs. They're not even listening. They're all barking at Chris the mailman.
No, they're yawning. They're yawning now.
Here's another one I'll never be able to prove.
Uh-huh.
I know Chris the mailman is listening.
Uh-huh.
Right? I know he is. Most days he shows up at my house before I go to work,
right.
And we exchange pleasantries.
Mm-hmm.
So let me say hi to Chris the mailman.
There you go.
But
he's barking right now.
Yeah,
bark if you can hear us.
But how am I going to know that he's hearing this?
He's yawning too.
I wouldn't doubt it.
In 3 days you'll get a letter, and he'll say, yes, I was listening.
Maybe 5 days. Maybe.
Does he wear shorts?
When appropriate.
Okay. And nothing else.
Yes, yeah.
Short suspenders and no top.
Bob in California. Bob, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, I wanted to thank y'all. I won the Cabo trip.
Oh, you won the trip to Mexico.
Oh, dude. It was insane.
You get a chance to meet Sammy Hagar?
He signed my hat.
Oh, good.
There you go.
You chance to get a drink with him?
Drank a lot, and he was playing, but I was drinking.
Okay, you're not going to get a direct answer. It's Northern California.
But I do believe that the goal of the trip was to go out to Mexico to Sammy's Cabo Wabo thing, Sammy Hagar.
And speaking of tequila with Sammy Hagar.
Like he's our friend.
Mm-hmm.
With our friend Sammy, who we've met
Once. Backstage with 50 other people.
But still, it was a good time.
It was.
And
actually, no, we got private time with Sammy.
Yeah, we did. Remember?
We got exclusive, like, hangout with Sammy.
The pre-show toast.
Yeah, he takes us down to meet the waitresses for his onstage cantina.
So you had a concert before, and then a concert, like a concert on a Saturday or a Friday or something, and on a Saturday, and then like a hangover party. And then, if I'm not mistaken, this is somebody calling to say thank you for the nice prize. Everything worked out.
Wow.
Yes, it was awesome. Excellent.
That was very nice.
I find it hard to believe. I'll wait for the documentation of whatever disease it is that you received from drinking the water down there. But for now, I'm glad that you appear to be...
Water? It was tequila.
A happy Don and Mike show listener.
You bring your wife or your girlfriend down there?
I took my wife.
And you had a good time, huh?
Oh, yeah. I hope they changed the sheets.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, well, did you stay at a hotel?
Yes. At a resort.
I see.
Yes.
I'm sure they did. I don't know why I'm having such trouble with this guy.
Do you think they changed the sheets? How many nights were you there? Was it a two-night trip?
It was two nights. We got there Friday and we left Sunday.
Now, you say you're from Northern California, but you have a bit of a Southern accent.
Originally from Texas.
Texas, yes.
So how many times when you were there do you imagine they changed the sheets?
Probably just once. Because they were pretty stiff when we left.
And what caused you to move from Texas to Northern California?
My ex-wife and my daughter moved out here, and I wasn't going to be 1,300 miles away from my daughter.
Right.
Like a good stalker.
Okay, so... So, all in all, you had a pleasant experience at the Sammy Hagar getaway in Mexico.
Oh, it was beyond pleasant.
Did you have to miss any work?
Just a couple of days.
Did any rockets go up while you were gone?
Rob. Lord.
Or just remain quiet. That's
right. Yeah, remain quiet.
Right. No,
because he's smiling.
He is. He's smiling from ear to ear.
He is. Were there hot babes at this thing?
Several.
Did most people have more teeth than you?
Several. Let me thank Jeopardy winner Ken Jennings for joining us today.
Yes.
A lot of people have said, Ken, how have you won 70-some episodes of Jeopardy in a row? And I say, it's the concentration. You hear the car alarm going off in the background?
Is it your car alarm that's going off, sir?
No, that's a minivan down the street.
A minivan?
Minivan.
Minivan. Car of the idiot. You don't drive one, do you?
No.
Pickup guy?
A pickup.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, Ken, nice talking to Ken Jennings.
Of course you do.
See you later, sir.
Thank you again.
Okay, what is goodbye?
Don, it's not goodbye, it's just so long.
Bye now, son.
What is so long? I'm trying to do this in the form of a question.
What is pound sand?
Still pretending, what is pound sand?
What is good, Ben?
Hold on, Tracy, California, Tracy.
Hey, baby.
Not a Tracy, it's a guy, I think. Tracy.
It's a guy, not a girl, yes.
Hi, Tracy.
True. Hey, I just wanted to ask Mike to call his horse and see what reaction he could get from that.
Callers? Yeah. They don't have phones out in the meadow. You dummy. That horse doesn't have a cell phone on its little bridle.
Your brain's got the candy shell.
Don't be silly.
Get out of here.
The girls rode Hershey. If you weren't keeping track, I should point out, the girls have actually ridden their pony.
How many times?
Once.
Once?
One time. That's great. Only one visit to the pony. But I still own the pony. There's the pony now. Come here, Hershey. Would you like a carrot or a sugar cube?
There you go.
That's a good Hershey the pony.
You know what? I saw the phones were lighting up. Let's do a phone scan. How about right now?
That is a good idea.
Very rare a phone scan pops up this early in the show, so we'll try it here. Your calls, your on-screen calls, any topic, 877-365-3636 from America, from Canada, 800-636-1067, same from Mexico and D.C. on WJFK. Our phone number is 202-432-1067. We'll start where we normally end now with the phone scan, which lies straight ahead.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
La 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 la
will lie to your face.
You are one pretty lady. Not.
The mole will double cross you.
Drink this. It's not poisonous.
The mole could be right beside you.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even know it. Who is the mole?
Me.
The betrayal begins Tuesday, January 9th on ABC.
Where are my eyes?
The Don and Mike Show.
Like the Girl Scouts, they have changed. Don and Mike.
Let's see. Wednesday, then Thursday, then Friday. We'll have Rich Eisen on to show NFL Total Access on the NFL Network, which is brought to us by TowerRecordsTower.com. Nobody has a bigger selection of music and the movies you love than Tower.com. And pleased to be looking at all of the pictures of Rich Eisen on NFL.com. Also, today we're giving away a trip for four anywhere Independence Air flies, including Orlando, Tampa, New York, Chicago, Boston, Nashville, Buffalo, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Charlotte, Detroit.
Wow.
Kind of whispered them.
Detroit. There are lots of great cities that they fly to.
You're in a flight today from D.C. alone, from Dulles. FlyEye.com, Independence Air. Go your own way. Let's see. Last night, when I got home, I said to Frida, turn on the last 2 seconds of Accent Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, as she promised, Nancy O'Dell put her hand on Billy Bush's shoulder, but she might have done that anyway. There was no...
Or Bushy, as she calls him.
Yeah. There was no, how have you been?
How have you been?
Not yet.
But of course,
she would.
Yeah, as predicted, though, they like ended on a somber note.
Yeah.
As I said, you know, it's... and Christopher Reeve, and you know, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll lighten up maybe in a couple of days.
And they'll make them very happy if you tell them this. 132 minutes.
Okay.
132 minutes to Ditka.
Right. How many minutes until Ditka?
About 132 minutes till Ditka.
Give it to me in hours.
I should point out to you that Ditka can affect the weather by his mood.
About 2 hours and 12 minutes time.
Christ.
This hour.
I am so excited.
Iron Mike will be on the show.
And now listen, if you think I've done a header into people's shorts before that have been on this show, just wait.
Never put it in those words, but
right,
will the interview go the way some of these go, where you will spend the first, 18, 19 minutes of the interview telling him why you're such a big fan?
Fawning. I'm going to try not to.
He gets fawned over all the time.
I know he does.
He gets fawned over like Sonny gets fawned over.
I know, so I'm going to try to just, although you know what, I think there's a part of me that think, as nice, how do I put this diplomatically, as nice a man as Hall of Famer Sonny Jurgensen is.
Yeah.
I would imagine, well, who knows? That would be a good, you know, you'd never be able to answer the question, who's ruder? Who's more old man-ish than Sonny Jurgensen or Mike Ditka?
Hot dog.
I bet that...
So what are you waiting for? Keep practicing. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I don't know. See, we know Sonny. I don't know Mike Ditka. We all know Sonny Jurgensen.
Sure, of course.
We know the way Sonny is.
But you know the way it is with NFL players.
Yeah.
NFL players are deified. They are. They're, you know, you get a certain select group in baseball that's like that. But lots of NFL players just get their butts kicked.
But the thing is, I was... he won't care about this. You're right. I should mention this now so I don't waste time later.
Just remember, he's a good guy.
I was working in Chicago when he got the job, and for the 5 years when he sucked, and he broke his hand against the wall when he got mad at the team, and he had the bad perm, and everybody hated him. And I really liked him, even though I was a Packers fan living in Chicago.
During the mid-1980s, they were quite a juggernaut.
How old is Ditka?
I don't know, 80? He can't be, 70? 60?
Sonny just turned 60.
I think he's 60. Mike would be around 60, 65.
Probably. All right, well, I'm glad we had this talk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we had this time together.
What is he promoting?
Who knows?
Tackling Men's Health.
Ah.
That's it. It's his program.
It's not the purple pill, though, right?
That could be part of it.
Hello.
Erectile dysfunction?
Can we say that?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Tackling Men's Health. It's being encouraging older men to be proactive with their health.
What?
Don't know. He had something he wanted to say, and he said it.
That was good.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'll get right to the point. I have a great website for you guys to go to.
Hold on and talk to Beth Ann first.
Oh, It's okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you, honey. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oh, no, Joe ever wore his suit to work.
Oh, that's right.
No, you know.
What suit?
Don't you remember? There was a time Joe was going to buy a suit.
For Mother's Day, remember we had the Widow Ardinger on, and she said that Joe had a sport jacket and that he could dress up and really, you know, look the part of a young professional.
Oh, I'd love to see that one day.
Yeah. We were going to ask Joe to dress up in a suit one day. All right, we'll follow up. Thank you.
He promised his mother.
Yes.
All right.
And I don't think she's really a widow.
I think that's terrific that he'll come in wearing a suit.
Well, let's see.
Rob, I think you should wear the suit that Buddy Hackett wore in The Music Man.
Will you wear your suit to work someday this week?
How about next week? I have to find it.
You have to find it. I need a week to find it. Where do you think it might be, Joe?
Part of it's probably under the bed.
All right, dude. Well, then, take the weekend to find the suit.
Right.
Tracy, my suit coat's underneath the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. My parrot talks to me. Forget it. I'm halfway home.
Just one more bite.
All right, we'll see the suit next week, Joe.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye.
Toodaloo.
Joe.
Ta-ta. Hello.
Joe.
Don and Mike show. Phone scam.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey there, I wanted to know if you thought this email mishap was worse than Beth Ann's.
I didn't catch that. Can you repeat it, please?
Yeah, I didn't understand him either.
Oh, yeah, Beth Ann had an email mishap, I guess, last week.
Are you chewing on your socks while you're talking?
I kind of understand what you say. You're talking about when Beth Ann McBride, our producer, sent an email to me saying that our general manager, Todd Hughes, is an ass. Her words, not mine. And although I agree, she inadvertently, not as a radio gag, I swear to God, she sent it to him instead of to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Right. Remember that.
So my email mishap, I'm not sure if this is worse. I had a buddy who sent me a picture of a scantily clad lady.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was pretty hot, so I forwarded it to a guy at work.
Okay.
But unbeknownst to me, there was two Phils in my contacts. So I guess I sent it to the wrong Phil. Yeah. So the next day, my boss called me into his office, and he had a picture of it. He goes, does this look familiar? I'm like, yeah.
Okay, what's the point of this? Hold on. Come
my
on.
God.
Come on. What is it here?
Well, I ended up sending it to our corporate lawyer.
Yes, and?
And he was away, so a secretary took it and took offense to it. So my job was on the line, so I had to send it.
Right, hold on. I want you to listen listen carefully. Tell me if you can identify the sound. Are you ready? For a prize, what's the sound? All right, let me go back and see if he can identify the sound.
All right.
Hello? Oh,
he's gone.
Thank lost you. Him.
Buzz, I got a great one. As a matter of fact, my girlfriend sent it to me, and this is an email that I printed out, and I have yet to bring it in, but I will bring it in especially for you.
Please, I can't
wait.
It
is the guide to cleaning your toilet with a live cat. And it is fantastic.
You mentioned your girlfriend sent that to you?
Yes, yes.
Did you use AOL for kids?
Stop it! Just once, if I could bring that woman's name up.
I know.
But the picture is... The
you
picture
didn't
is
bring her name up, if you want to be specific.
Kala.
Kala.
The cat is, like, soaking wet, and the cat's face, it's a real cat, looks actually angry, and they go step by step how you lure the cat in, and then you shut the top, and then you flush and wait till the cat agitates, and then it's a picture at the end of a dog on its back with its hind legs up in the air, and the dog is literally laughing. It's a wonderful one. And
that does sound funny.
I think you wouldn't like it. That's why I'm bringing it in for you.
But it's obviously a fantasy, because anyone knows you can't put a cat in the toilet. They've got too many paws.
No matter how you try.
3 points to find a plane, and you can't put your cat in the toilet.
I don't presently own a cat, but I certainly, this was, you know, as well as being funny, I found it very instructive as well.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How are you?
Don and Mike, what's happening?
Hey, what's up?
Not a whole lot. What's up, Buzz?
Hey.
Hey, I got a question for you. Last week I called in about a commercial that was kind of annoying. I haven't heard it since.
What commercial?
The Dark Cars.
Well, Dark Cars!
Dark Cars!
Dark Cars! That's a commercial that Rob does.
What's wrong? They haven't put it on anymore.
We listened to your complaint and took immediate action.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'd just like to say that annoying commercials certainly last a long time on the radio station. And I certainly don't think that commercial is going to be coming on anytime soon.
I don't even know what commercial you're making fun of.
I'm not really sure, but
can I tell you something?
Take advantage of Rob's nice commercials.
I'm in the market for some land.
Would you like 10 country acres?
Only if a guy with a different voice sold them to me. Not that I'm aware of the commercial you're talking about, though.
Are you telling me that I'm not selling you properly?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
I just want to tell Mike I thought that really was a big moral victory last night that you got.
Hey, man, I like that, and I like the way you put it, moral victory. And
that's
now,
right.
And now when we go down to... It won't matter. No, I'm very excited about tonight. I did feel good, but I might have felt good artificially at that stage of the evening.
Who do you feel more confident in winning tonight?
All right.
Carey or the Red Sox?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one that I've just figured out. Carey.
Gotcha. Yeah. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
So very.
Hi.
Hi, phone scan. You're on the air.
Actually, just calling. I don't know if you mentioned before. Did that one woman have her baby? The one that you said would be pregnant forever.
Oh, Michelle, yes, she had her baby.
Oh, yeah, I know. Honey, you have to listen to the show. Bad listener, we've covered this ground.
The beautiful upside down baby.
And the baby weighed 73 pounds.
As a matter of fact, if you're interested, lady, the baby is the bat boy for the New York Yankees tonight.
Yeah, I'll see him tonight on TV.
Okay, see you later.
And it flies.
You gotta listen. You gotta listen. And like Jamie Lee Curtis. A hermaphrodite.
Oh, no, now stop that.
And sadly, now...
No.
Now you've gone too far.
You've gone too far, you.
That's going too far?
Yes. Flying, okay. Yeah. Hermaphrodite, bad. Hermaphrodite, real thing.
Show me the book where it says that's bad. I think that's good.
Oh, my God.
And maybe think Janet Leigh's dead. That's our last tie to find out.
Yeah, we'll never
without
know.
Just strapping down Jamie Lee Curtis to find out what's going on.
Well, Tony's still alive. But he,
I did ask him that time he was on the show.
Yeah, and he denies it.
He was ambivalent, actually.
Was he really?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
He didn't give a firm answer one way or the other.
Well, I'd have to check.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Right. Okay. Hello. You're on the air. This is the phone scan.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
Yes, hi.
Hey, I was wondering which you thought would get better ratings tonight, the debate or the Red Sox game.
Oh, I bet the debate does.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to count the fact that the debate will be on all the channels and the game will just be on Fox. Except, you know, of course, in Boston and New York, right? And in Houston and I guess in a lesser extent to Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going to TiVo the debate.
Where they are used to their Braves losing all the time.
Because
the
sports you want to watch live, right?
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
After you guys got that wonderful call from Sacramento, unfortunately living up in Northern California, I don't want to scoop Buzz, but did he get the fireman story out of Sacramento?
I do have that story. I hope we get to it today.
All right. Okay, I will pass on it and not scoop you.
And then that's, you know what, for Sacramento,
that's
it's
darn
still
nice
bad.
Of
you. It's why is still it bad. I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because I don't want to scoop you by.
No, hold on.
No? You don't want to scoop
him. No,
polite.
No, but here's the point. Mm-hmm. Why call? Why not just assume, and I know when you do, you make an ass out of you and me.
Oh, my God, I'm being put in a position where I'm going to have to defend.
No, you're not, Mike.
No,
I'm
going to
sway you on this one. This guy already calling, in essence, telling Buzz what to do.
Yeah.
Since when does Buzz Burbank,
point of order, simply
editor of this
point
show,
of order.
Simply a question
point
on
of order.
Yeah.
This guy calls, he's got a story that he's really into,
mm-hmm.
he wants to just find out if Buzz happens to have it,
exactly.
And Buzz mentions he might get
thank
to
you, Mike.
And the guy bails. I'm defending this
guy.
No.
You know why why it's important to him? Because it's important to him. This show is a broadcast.
He backed off as soon as he knew we were on the
story.
He
really went away. He completely... Yeah.
Here's all I asked.
All he mentioned was that the story's about a fireman.
No.
He didn't say anything else.
Alex
right.
is a bad man.
He's putting up a brave front in the room. But there's a trembling little boy next door. And
you think he's really upset with this caller?
The little boy next door who crafts his stories every day and is the news editor of this program.
Well, I know you're probably a little annoyed.
I know. He hates it. When people call to say, I'm going to... Admit it. You've told it to me.
I have the story, but it's so far down on the newscast, we may not get to it.
So it's not a very good story. So not only is this guy selfish, but he's misinformed.
Oh, it's a good story. It's just there are 15 other stories that are better.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, now I'm wondering if the guy felt strongly enough to call about the story.
Uh-huh. It's not that great. No, it is a good story. It's a strong story.
Is it so great where the guy could tell us the story and you could?
No.
And that's what this guy wants.
No. God,
I just tried to upset everybody.
1,000 times, no. Please. Okay, now you're going to make me do it, okay? Oh, yeah.
Do you have it, too?
Hey!
Oh, Don is doing the dance. Don's doing the Sacramento dance.
It's a first, ladies and gentlemen.
Right there. Yeah.
More fun to watch than it is to do.
How do you like that?
So if I start defending Sacramento College, does that mean you'll take over doing the Sacramento dance?
Only if they attack my Buzz like this. No, I'm only standing up for Buzz because I know during the commercial I'll go outside and there will be just, I don't want to call it a tear, I'll call it an allergic reaction, but it'll be, why do they always call? Say they've got the news.
Hold me.
I've got the news.
Let the record show, I defended a caller from Sacramento.
Yeah, and then Don did the Sacramento.
And Buzz is with me on it.
Right. You know what? This all started when Don started to root for the Red Sox. My world is topsy-turvy and upside down.
Let me just mention something else.
I've always hated the town.
These fingers?
Yes.
Touched by God.
They don't stink.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, throughout my daily whatever it is that I've done today,
Yes,
I just did something that I thought there was a be a, anyway. Yeah,
I understand you demonstrating what you were doing during the Sacramento dance.
Gotcha.
From the dance.
And you know all I
that's
smell?
That's the classic Sacramento dance move. Yeah. Now you're giving it away.
You know all I smell?
Uh-huh.
Beautiful aqua velvet.
Well, then you aren't doing the dance correctly.
That's right. You didn't commit.
Hello. Come on in my show. Hello.
Speak to us.
Or just hang up. Hi, Don in Mike's show. Hello, phone scan.
Hey, how about some Christopher Reeve jokes today?
Not yet.
Sure, go ahead. Give us one.
No.
Another guy just wants to help us do the show.
Yeah, he wants to hear you do Christopher Reeves jokes.
Yeah, Reeves.
On sand. Hello, Donna Mike Show. So, I'd rather do Donna Summers jokes.
And technically, even back when he was alive, we had the best Christopher Reeve joke, and I don't think you can improve on that.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Don.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Mike, there's only one thing I can't stand about the Red Sox. Doris Kearns Goodwin.
Is she a Red Sox fan, that author?
Oh, my God. It's all she talks about.
Really?
I got to tell you one thing.
I haven't even seen her on the talk show.
The little
lately.
Girl in the playground, you just want to, every time she opens her mouth, you want to pull her pigtail.
She's the author that writes the books about presidents.
She's
right?
The old hagged out one that gets on NBC whenever the presidents do something.
I don't know. But, you know, I can't help the fact that, literary people are Red Sox fans. I mean, really, authors are Red Sox fans. And what you get, Yankee fans are, yay!
What about that one dude? I don't know which position he plays for the Red Sox.
I hang my hat on Stephen King. I dig the fact that Stephen King's a Red Sox fan.
But the guy, is he the first baseman for the Red Sox that has the Amish beard?
That'd be Kevin Millar.
Yeah.
I hate that beard.
That's a handsome man.
I hate that beard. Well, you know what they call themselves?
Like a retarded.
Did you read the article, what they said?
No, I just
They're
saw
calling themselves idiots. They call themselves the idiots.
So I know they got the caveman, the Johnny Damon.
No, they call themselves idiots. I mean, they get guys with every different look you can imagine on that
team.
You
got this guy. Now, is he the first baseman? Is that what
he's the first baseman. Kevin Millar, he's a utility player, but he plays first base primarily.
Remember that bad movie with Tim Allen and Kirstie Alley, where Tim Allen gets fired from his job on the stock exchange and has to hide out by being Amish, and he's got the worst fake Amish beard on? That's what this guy for the Red Sox looks like.
These guys really, I think they get off the playing field and they go schizo. Because you got these pitchers, the white guy with cornrows, Bronson Arroyo, who's got that. You got Manny and Pedro, who have grown their hair, like, super long.
And don't forget the midget.
And yes, that's the one guy, Pedro's got a midget.
It's a queer eye for the Red Sox guy.
Who do you like tonight?
Who do I like tonight?
Who do you think's going to win tonight? And I'm asking you point blank.
Red Sox.
You think the Red Sox is going to win?
Red Sox.
Okay.
Serious, Mike.
All right.
No BS. Serious.
Okay, if they lose tonight.
Yeah. Hi.
Bye-bye.
Oh, very important to win the second game, I do believe.
Yeah.
Hello.
If they lose tonight, we're having a Donnie farewell party.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Riddle me this, boy, Blenda.
Guy just doing some gorgeous.
Never tired of that.
Hello. Don and Mike, hello. Hello there.
Don and Mike.
Yes,
come on, hurry up.
Me love you long time.
Thank you. What can we do
Mike,
for you?
Go Sox.
No, I don't accept it from you. You took too much time.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi, phone scan.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
If Christopher Reeves were alive today, you know what he'd be doing, though.
Now, you get disqualified by saying Christopher Reeves.
Before you trip over your cape, Batman, riddle me this. There are three men in a boat with four cigarettes, but no matches.
Hold on. You're going to have to mono that out for everybody listening in AM.
I'm over here now.
Before you trip over your cape, Batman, riddle me this. There are three men in a boat with four cigarettes, but no matches. How do they manage to smoke?
Who knows? Do you remember, Mike?
Rob knows.
Do you remember?
No.
Do you remember, Buzz?
I do.
Go ahead, Buzz.
They threw a cigarette overboard, so they were one lighter. Or
made the boat.
Made the boat lighter.
A cigarette
lighter.
Lighter.
You remember
that? Buzz. I was counting on you for that one.
Yeah,
so was I.
He was closer than you. He's the Ken Jennings of this game.
I didn't claim I knew it. He would not have won on Jeopardy.
How long is the background music between these riddles, incidentally?
Long enough for my ass.
There were three men in a boat with four cigarettes and no matches. How did they manage to smoke?
Right.
They threw one cigarette overboard and made the boat a cigarette lighter. Correct, boy wonder.
I love that. Like that. That is my favorite Batman tape that we play.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello. Let's do the Batusi. Where are you here? Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I had to delete that out, and as a matter of fact, that button was hit throughout the building. That's a good one.
That's just how good it was.
Remember how we used to do a real good bit on this show with funny names? Like
I'd never heard that one.
Me either.
We can't. That'll
be on the CD.
It.
Mark Fitzpatrick, you know what I mean. It was much better than that. Boy, now we got to wait. We've lost all of our telephone delay.
And even as the dynamic duo speeds back to the Batcave, a strange scene ensues inside Mr. Freeze's super air-conditioned mountain hideout.
That was just too bad. Because the guy said something really funny.
That's one I think if we're ever traveling again,
we're going to have to use it in an airport.
Right at the airport. I'd love to
share. It was a great fake name.
First name, Barry.
Yeah, and very much...
Sorry, Batman. I wanted to toy with you a little longer. But that is the way the ice cube crumbles.
Very along the lines of the one that we... The first name, Haywood. You know, I mean, think along that, but not the same thing.
Actually,
but
the more... It sounds more like Phil.
Well, I'm just trying to give them a general feel.
All right, you cold fade. What next?
Was that Otto Preminger?
It's Mr. Freeze, man. I don't know who you're talking about.
Rob said it was Otto Preminger.
It's Mr. Freeze.
Well, I know the character.
Mr. Freeze talking to Batman.
Sorry, we're in the world of Batman. He has a Batman tattoo, ladies and gentlemen.
Ah, baked Alaska, my favorite dessert. We will have with it some of this very special liqueur. Chilled ever so slightly. 10 seconds in my hands cools it properly. 30 seconds for champagne and 1 minute for martini. Nice and cold.
Preminger,
thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you do not drink. Revenge! I will have revenge! How does it feel to freeze to death?
Too great. Let me tell you something. I was talking before about Don O'Brien and the passion to be on the radio.
Naturally, you didn't know I was wearing my special super thermal B long underwear.
Yeah. Passion.
What's great is I'm doing a radio show. Mm-hmm. We can play Batman on the radio. That's great. That's why I love radio.
I agree.
That's the greatest.
Yeah. Batman.
Oh, Christ, that's good. We got to end this phone scan, though. Hello, because Mick Foley's standing by. Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Why was the timing of the passing Christopher Reeve so unfortunate?
No, listen.
No,
they're
no,
gonna,
no.
And
not
again,
today.
You're breaking, you know, the prime directive. when you want to call with that stuff, you either offer up your phone number, and let's give the Christopher Reeve thing a couple of days, or you wait for Make Us Laugh.
And point of order, that was George Sanders as Mr. Freeze.
Oh, George Sanders?
Play him later.
Okay. Ah.
Either way, it's Mr. Freeze, right? This fake name you're talking about.
I don't know.
I don't know who this Adam West is.
And who played him? Some idiot played him in the movie version.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Hello?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yes, phone scan.
You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks. This call sucks, though. What can we do for you?
That's all he has.
He's gone. Okay, please just stay on. Even if you're going to say something nice, just stay on. Because now we're to the point where we're just giving away the prize.
And focus, people.
Here
focus.
Hello there. Donado.
Hi.
Miguel. Hi.
How are you?
Hi, we're doing great. Let me first say you're the last person on the phone scale.
Oh, yay.
So, yay. You get the HBO Family Bonds Prize Pack. Meet the Evangelistas, a real-life family of bounty hunters. That's Sunday nights on HBO. Plus, there's the WWE Taboo Tuesday Prize Pack, live, in-demand pay-per-view taboo. How you been? Comcast or Cox, COX Cable Systems. Enjoy both those prizes for being on the phone scan. What can we do for ye?
I just called to say hi.
That's,
and go Red Sox.
Isn't that nice?
There you go.
Well, if that's it, that's it. That's two in a row like that, but technically you win.
Put a cork in it, honey. Thank you. And when we come back, we'll talk to, you may know him as Mankind. Uh-huh. We know him as Mick Foley.
And he's written a children's book. Yeah.
Yeah, but more importantly, we're going to pin him down about who he's going to vote for.
Yeah, this time he's got to admit it.
Last time he was on the show, he really straddled the line. He said he didn't want to alienate one group of his fans who he thought might be voting for one guy or the other guy.
But he was leaning.
Yeah, but he was leaning, but it's time to stop leaning.
Good.
So we'll talk to Mick about that and all other things when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We just say before we play the tape, 1 hour and 48 minutes until Ditka.
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 Take me out of the ballgame.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
This one for you, Mike. I agree.
Noted Bonesman, Don Geronimo, and Michael Mara.
Every once in a while, I like playing Mike's favorite song. This is Mike O'Meara's all-time favorite song.
Thank you.
Old man. Anyway, Mike, I wish we had more time to listen to your all-time favorite song.
I wish all our listeners could see my toothy grin.
Telephone man.
Telephone
Robbie,
man.
You got Mick on?
Yeah, he's there.
All right, here is Mick Foley. Hey, Mick.
Yes, that happens to be my favorite song, too.
Oh, you have exquisite taste, Mr. Foley.
Hey, everybody, now here's Mick Foley, Mankind.
And I'm grinning, but because it's me, it's not exactly a toothy.
Right.
So let's do the plug, and then we want to ask you so many things. Mick has a new kids book out.
Yep.
Tales from Rascal Lane.
Yes.
Now, this is not like the last book, which was the fag book. Mick, I'm kidding about that. I still like that book.
You know what? I'm just going to take the next novel. I'm same format, and then all I'm going to do is cut out all the faggy stuff with nothing but violence.
Pure violence.
Andy and Brown was great. Your books about being Mankind are great.
Rob,
the kid
can
book.
I tell you what Rob just did? Rob jots down notes in here. Rob, you couldn't even wait. Rob writes down in front of me, is Al Snow in this volume?
Al Snow is in that book.
He's in the kid's book.
The kid's book, and I'll tell you what, even though he's there strictly to be made fun of, he's like the pathetic kid that nobody likes, and then, of course, you know, Kurt Angle learns a serious lesson about, you know, except...
You're kidding. Hold on. You're kidding me. You put Al Snow in the kids' book?
Yeah, get into the second. There's two stories.
Mike, find the page.
Right.
Find the page with Al Snow's name on it.
I'm looking right now.
Coaster crisis, and you'll see the line. It says, you know, You know, when the food was eaten, Kurt stood and said, "Let's go." Just a minute, Stacy said, "We're waiting for Al Snow." Three of you invited him, the one rascal I don't like. You know, he looked outside and saw Al as he struggled with his bike. I can't believe you invited him, the one rascal I don't like.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my God.
How great is that? You put the guy's name that you hate in your kid's book.
Yeah.
What is the target audience for your new book?
I'm telling you, I'm not just saying this because I would lie to you guys. But
of course
I'm,
you would.
I swear. I wrote this book a couple years ago, and then, believe it or not, Vince McMahon and I had a little falling out.
Hold on, Mike's looking at a picture right now.
Is Al Snow the one with the bicycle helmet on?
Yeah, exactly.
He makes him look all wimpy.
Al Snow, there he is.
Yeah, throughout the whole thing, I mean, there's a deal where the story, the Al Snow, the one that Al's in, is called Kurt's Coaster Crisis, and it's a trip to Vinnie Land.
Is that like Vince McMahon?
Yeah, Vinnie Land was a new theme park built by Vince McMahon, and its Titan roller coaster was the tallest in the land. Now, Kurt's bragging about doing the coaster. Al's afraid of everything. So they decide to go on a small ride first, and I think the line says, let's all go on a small ride first, and that makes a lot of sense, something about that way Al can have some fun in case the coaster's too intense. But even that little ride is too much for Al.
The train chugged on toward the park, and while their friends were sleeping, Kurt smugly smiled when he heard small sobs. Little Al was weeping.
Yeah, while the kids were sleeping, Kurt turned to Al and he said, "Shut your mouth, don't talk to me. That is my demand. Pretend you do not know me when we get to Vinnie Land." You know what? I end up screwing myself over by making Al so pathetic.
Yeah.
Let me read another one. All the children bolted to and joined Kurt in the race. All that is, except poor Al, who could not keep up the pace.
You crack me
That's
up.
That's so great.
Al Snow. And I'll tell you who the target audience is. You didn't answer. Anybody that's got $17. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's a target audience for this book.
Amen.
You're going to sell it to kids, but you can sell it to your fans as well.
Well, you know, that's what I was saying. It works. I was saying that after I had the falling out with Vince, I had this story on my hand. You know, and I had actually already had illustrated. The same girl that did my Halloween book did these books. And I had two complete stories. No way to get it published. So I'm estimating that over the last few years, I've read this out loud to over 10,000 kids in schools, camps, libraries. So I can say, without exaggeration, it works everywhere from 3 years old, which is the youngest that I've read to, which is my son, Little Mick, who has no idea what I did for a living and only likes Ruskell Lane because he thinks the kids are funny.
Okay.
And it works on up like through adults, you know, like teachers really get a kick out of it. And what makes it a little better and different than my other children's books is there's really, you don't need to be a wrestling fan in order to get a kick out of it. Of course, that's who will buy it, is the wrestling fan.
Well, I think it's great that you still are busting Al Snow in a kid's book. That Kurt Angle, too. Great. Now, to the more important issue, even more important than wrestling, and if you're going to make another comeback again and your book and everything, you are, above all, an educated guy, and I'm not blowing smoke. I love having you on the show. You are not a wrestler. You're a great guest, Mick.
Hey, well, I appreciate it.
And
I love going on with you guys.
And you always speak in very honest, open terms. The last time we had you on the show, we asked you, who are you going to vote for? And you give a political answer saying, I don't want to alienate my fans on either side, but I kind of agree with what you guys are saying.
Well, in the interim, we have now what is probably one of the most divisive elections that we've ever had in this country, and I think everybody knows that. And I know we've talked about this election more than any election we've ever talked about in the history of doing this show.
And we had Wanda Sykes on yesterday, and she didn't want to get backed into a corner about it. Nobody does. Mick, who are you going to vote for? You can't be undecided.
I'm not undecided at all. The main difference between my feeling now and last time is last time I was just gung-ho about not voting for Bush. Mm-hmm. And what's happened over, especially since these last two debates, I've actually gotten on Kerry's bandwagon. I mean, I would have voted for him anyway. I thought he was a good candidate.
Good.
But I think people are seeing for the first time, hey, wait a second, this isn't the guy that was made out to be, you know, a little flip-flopping weasel. This is the guy who's really on the ball. And I don't know what debate, you know, half the country was watching the last time.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was even close. I mean, I think this is like one of those rulings where you're watching a boxing match and a guy outscores the other guy, you know, 2-1 and has twice as many power shots and it's still
mysteriously a draw.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I thought Bush did very well. I did not think, you know, he had a bad off night on that first one. I don't think it was an off night, because I think Kerry would have trampled him any night in that format. But he did very well. But I just said to my wife while Kerry was going on, I said, geez, he's not even in Kerry's league. I mean, people, you know, they can have their personal feelings and think, you know, what they want about the war. And if they're in that top, you know, 1%, maybe they really, you know, should push for that tax cut. But man, as far as...
And I am, trust me.
Understand.
Oh, excuse me, that was interfering.
You know why I'm mad is because those tax cuts came in just when I stopped making big money.
Ah.
I think I might see the world a little differently if I'd made my big money like in 2002 and 2003.
Let me ask you about the debates. Nothing to do with your opinion anymore, although your opinion as a showman. Because the WWE, like it, don't like it, listen, it's the greatest show out there.
Right.
I mean, and especially Mick. That's how we got to know Mick, with the making of the documentary where, you know, somebody in this room thought it was fake.
Hi, Mike. I remember that.
Anyway, it's a great show. Let me ask you, when you're watching the debate specifically last week, the fact that Bush couldn't control himself, he jumped out of his chair before it was his time to talk, he was pacing, he's holding the mic. Now listen, strictly on straight stage presence, showbiz, setting up the audience, should Kerry be as animated? And from a wrestling standpoint...
Are you talking about debate number two?
Yeah, the one last week.
You know, I mean, I think...
How did Bush do? Because that's where I thought he did.
I thought Bush did well, and by jumping out and by cutting off the moderator, it allowed Karen Hughes to go on every show and say, the president dominated the event. Like, as if you actually get points in a debate for being the aggressor. You know, I did not think that looked presidential, and I think when you start, you know, referring to someone, he's a liberal, he's got the most liberal, you know, voting record in the Senate, then you're essentially realizing you're down on points and you're throwing haymakers, hoping for that knockout, you know, and then Kerry turned right around with that, you know, well, what's in the label? You know, you claim to be a compassionate conservative, and then he threw out a couple statistics, it's a compassionate conservative, Mr. President, you're 0 for 2. So I did not think there was one instance where, like, Bush had a zinger. I mean, he had the, you can run, but you can't hide.
No, he had his joke.
Are you asking, Mick, if you think Kerry should be more animated in this debate?
No. What I wanted
to
know
was... Kerry was perfect.
I was asking about Bush. From a show standpoint, show, you know, was Bush doing the right thing by jumping up and being more animated than Kerry?
Well, what I was trying to say is it allowed his handlers to claim that he dominated only because he ran out and yelled and was more aggressive. But personally, you know, if you put a singlet on the guy, he would have looked like he was in a wrestling ring.
All right, now,
I want to just do a follow-up on that. And let me ask just to get this back to the wrestling. You got Kerry, you got Bush.
Yeah.
In a ring. In a wrestling match, who do you go with on this one? I mean, a lot of people have talked about the physical prowess. You know, you got the mountain biking for Bush. You got the windsurfing for Kerry. Who wins in the, you know, in a cage match?
Man, that's a toss-up.
Can I weigh in?
It's
a no-brainer.
They're both endurance athletes. I think, you know, Bush, honestly, has got the bag of dirty tricks, and that might come in handy. Yeah,
man, that's what I was going to say. If you got down to a street fight, who would kick in the nuts? Who would bite?
You got a reach advantage on Kerry, though.
Paul Rove whispering in Bush's ear, you know he's going to take it because, you know, Kerry's handlers are actually decent, humane people.
So, Mick, so you're still on the outs with Vince?
No. Now we're cool. I mean, when I came back a year ago, it was one of the first things I said is, Vince, we got this great... you know, we got this great story, and, you know, I felt, you know, there's not a whole lot of money involved in children's books unless you're Dr. Seuss, so I thought, you know, there's no reason for me to have been fighting with the company over this idea and then come away with a little bit of cash, so I'm actually donating mine to the Christian Children's Fund, and they're going to build a school in the Philippines. So,
oh, my God, that's great.
The dollar really goes a long ways in some parts of the world. And I'm
thinking about moving to Haiti. Christ, with my salary, I could be like Ricardo Montalban living in Haiti.
But, you know, I'll ask because you're a good guy. And why that part of the world? What intrigued you about that part of the world?
Well, one of the kids I sponsor is over there, and she, you know, she's really cool. Like, I'm looking now in my basement. She sends me Disney character pictures. She just wrote me a letter and says she doesn't never watched television. You know, she only knows, these guys from books, and then she draws me pictures, and, she kind of influenced me in her own way to be a better person. And then I was looking through, like, their gift catalog.
Yeah.
You know, they send out a couple times a year.
Sure.
I was losing sleep over where to donate this money because I wanted to give it to Give Kids the World in Florida or
Paul Newman's camp, the Hole in the Wall gang, because I'd read this story to both in both those places. Then I was going through the catalog, and all of a sudden it hit, like the dollar amount was almost exactly what I was making. And I just thought, man, instead of, you know, sending 10 kids to camp or granting four families' wishes, like this is something that could, you know, could maybe help out hundreds of kids over the years. And it just felt like the right deal. And I know some people, you know, think if it's not in the U.S. that it's not as valuable. But
I disagree. Charity's charity, man. Your heart's in the right place.
Thank you, man.
And
listen, I know when people, you were talking politics, you guys know about the great Smackdown Your Vote debate I had last week, don't you?
Do not. We're not aware of that.
Man.
Tell us.
When I was at the convention, I was well aware that there would be a bunch of rabid wrestling Republicans who would love to go to New York City. And so I called up and volunteered my services in Boston, and I had spirited locker room conversations with several of the guys who really took the time they spent on the airplanes and the locker rooms to educate themselves on the issues. So I told our director of PR, hey, you know, we ought to have a debate around college campuses, because A, it would be fun, and B, I mean, the bar would be set so low for us that it would exceed expectations, you know?
Oh, tell us more. When did this go down?
We set it up the day before the first presidential candidate in Miami. We were right there at the university. We had a nice crowd, and Bradshaw was representing the right side. And we had a good debate. You know, we actually had two members of the University of Miami debate team, you know, on their respective sides. And Bradshaw knew the night was going to be long for him when his guy, the arch conservative, walked up. He goes, "Oh my God, Mick Foley, I'm such a huge."
That's fantastic. I'll tell you again, Mick, Christ, we got to go today. Let me just point out, the book, A Plug, it's out the 19th.
Yes.
Mike's got it for his little girl.
Yeah, I got it for my 7-year-old and for my 9-year-old. I can't wait to give it
to them. They're going to love it.
I know they are.
And listen, you son of a bitch, we love you, and you're welcome anytime. Next time, get your face down here.
I may do that. Hey, just so you know, SmackDown's coming to the MCI Center November 20th.
Okay.
I won't be there, but some other guys will.
Well, we only like it when you come down there. But the other guys are okay, but they're not you. I mean, we couldn't have this discussion with the other guys.
No, you're the gold standard, buddy.
That's right.
But, you know, due to fairness, in the interest of equal time, you might want to have Bradshaw on and espouse his views, because he's equally passionate. He's just wrong.
He doesn't. That's a polite way of putting it. All right, Mick, we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Take it easy.
Mick Foley.
What a guy.
The thing is, you say he's a wrestler. He's Mankind. He's the guy that had the crazy mask on his face, and you think, well, what's he going to say?
Right.
And here,
you know, what I like about talking to him, I mean, really, we got Arnold Schwarzenegger out in California. We had Jesse Ventura. I have always maintained that that guy is very capable, and I think he would probably never admit it, but I do believe that guy is laying groundwork. I've always thought this. I've always thought he might not talk about it.
He's going to have to get the teeth fixed.
He has to get the teeth. He'll probably have to go. Or maybe not. Who the hell knows?
No, he'd have to get the teeth fixed to run for office.
Get himself some Da Vinci veneers, maybe a new flannel shirt. Who knows?
Da Vinci veneers.
Anyway, that's Mick Foley from the WWE, and we will be right back. Oh, with an Anthony O'Dell challenge. How've you been? We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two f***ing balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 f***ing grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm glad you enjoyed them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
Yes, they are. The cure for pronated foot. The Don and Mike Show.
Countdown to Ditka. What is the countdown to Ditka now?
61 minutes to Ditka.
Basically 1 hour till he graces us with his presence. After all of this, I sure hope he calls.
Oh, he will. This is this one's set in stone.
Good.
Ditka.
Yeah. Ditka.
In 1 hour. Oh, plus, listen, we're going to play a game here in a second to give away four tickets, Anywhere Independence Air flies, four round-trip tickets, and $400 in cash. Stand by for the return of Where Are You Listening to the Show. Now, before Nancy O'Dell calls from Accent Hollywood, I'll tell you that last night on their show, she in fact did not say, how have you been?
No, but she did touch Bushy on the shoulder.
She did. That's not thick enough. We'll bring that up with her. I've decided, at least in the short term, how we're going to handle this. That she's a nice lady. She's a nice piece of A, and she's on Access Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to call in every day and do a little plug for their show and vice versa. I'm going to start challenging her. And I got a couple of minutes before she calls in. Let's see if she has any of these stories today.
All right.
Where is the thing that says Access Hollywood? First off, about Zitney. Zitney Spears. Yeah. Everybody's going to cover these stories very quickly. Let's see if she talks
about... All
right,
now these are stories you have, and then you're going to ask her if she's going to have them.
No, we're just going to say what's on your show tonight.
Mm-hmm. All right.
If I'm doing entertainment tonight... All right, excuse me. Accent Hollywood.
Right. Even better. Hey, Coca-Cola, here's Pepsi.
I would go with this. First off, Zitney Spears has announced that she wants to change her name to Brittany Federline. Hey,
Federline. Well, isn't that nice?
Pretty.
So that's what?
It's like, it sounds like Ditka. Federline.
Brittany
Federline can affect the weather by her mood.
Brittany Federline. Okay. Now, also, not on Access Hollywood tonight, I'm sure. Phil Jackson, former coach of the Lakers, has a book out.
All right.
In which he's writing stuff about Kobe Bryant.
Ah.
Our friends at thesmokinggun.com sent us some stuff that goes along with the press release that we got about Phil Jackson writing the book. Let me see. Not from Smoking Gun, but from the book that's coming out. This is from Phil Jackson, coach of the Lakers. When he was fighting the rape charges, Kobe Bryant, the Lakers provided him with a private jet so he could go back and forth to Aspen or Denver, wherever it was.
Wow.
And Kobe Jackson had the nerve... Kobe Bryant had the nerve to complain about the quality of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Jackson says Kobe wasn't happy with the type of plane that was being selected.
Huh.
He wanted one with a higher status. He also said, no one that I've ever coached has received more allowances than I gave Kobe Bryant. Hmm. I tried to trade him twice, once last year and once in 1999. Jerry Buss would never go for it. Now, Smoking Gun, that's not really a story.
Right.
Smoking Gun has got the transcript of what Kobe Bryant said to the woman, the accuser, the night in the hotel room before he did the thing that she found so despicable.
So this is court testimony that...
No, this is police. This is, again, the police statement.
Police statement, okay.
Okay. Whether the sex between Kobe and the woman was consensual
Good
or
word,
not...
Good though.
We do know that, how do I put this, it ended prematurely.
Oh, really?
Because of what Kobe wanted.
Right. Well, when you say that, you mean basically they didn't finish.
Kobe asked the woman if he could do the thing to her, and she said no, so it ended. However, here's the quote. I can't say it. The quote that he said to her, according to the police records, and we want to thank SmokingGun.com, do you like it when a black mother father does this thing to you?
Mm-hmm.
There, Mike, I'll just show you the quote right here, and you can read it and see if you can translate that. See if you can translate that any better. That's what
you did a fine job, though. I don't think I'm going to go anywhere near
that.
That's
what Kobe said to this woman.
That was surprising, because I never knew he was that romantic.
Wow. He's an incredible romantic.
Sweet talker. He is. And hold on, I need that back, because I got one more thing that I'm sure that Nancy won't have on her show tonight.
It's a test.
Tatum O'Neal claims she was once involved in a four-way with Melanie Griffith.
Wow.
When Tatum O'Neal was 12.
Oh, dear.
Let's go to Accent Hollywood's Nancy O'Dell. Hello, Nancy.
Hey, guys.
Nancy, how have you been?
I've been very well.
I must say...
Did you see me touch Billy's shoulder last night?
to say hello to Don and Mike.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't count.
Someday.
I mean, we're not in any rush.
It's not good enough for you guys.
You'll find that we're very, we're very cynical, and we're also very sensitive, and we're never satisfied.
There is no rush. We don't want you to say our names on your TV show or touch anybody or touch your ear like Carol Burnett. Just someday at the very beginning when you're standing there with Billy Bush.
When the spirit moves you, when you feel that it is the right time.
You just say, welcome back.
Have you been?
That's it. Do that some night and surprise us.
It will be a triumph for our show.
I will tell you that yesterday after that, I got off the phone with you, I tried my best when we were going back to shoot the goodbyes to get the producer to have like a little chyron and a screen behind me that said, I love you, Don and Mike.
Wow.
I couldn't convince them to do it. They had it up there for a little while, and then they said it was too obvious that I was going to tell you guys to look for it back in there in the screen. But I will convince them of something someday soon.
All right, just cool. Throw in a how have you been.
We don't demand a lot.
Listen, okay. Let's see. I was just telling the guys here that I bet you're not going to have the stories that I would lead with tonight on Access Hollywood. What is your lead story tonight?
Well, I will say, just prefacing my lead story, we do have a Tatum O'Neal story on, and it's a very good one.
Oh,
very
interesting. Good for you.
That's good.
That's quite a little controversy.
We chose to lead with, I interviewed Robin Williams this morning, my best friend was Christopher Reeve, so he told us all about, the memories of his friend and stuff like that, which I will tell you in a moment. Which one would you like to talk about first?
Well, the Tatum O'Neal first.
She's got her new tell-all book out, right?
Yes.
And she claimed so many things about her father.
Yes.
She does claim that he slept with her friend, 18-year-old Melanie Griffith, back then. And yeah, that was a threesome, not a foursome.
Not a foursome, a threesome. So it was Ryan O'Neal and an 18...
I don't know if she was really claiming it was a threesome. She was saying they all three slept in the same bed, but she was saying that he slept with her friend.
She's claiming.
But now her father retorts everything, and his response to it all to us was, it's a sad day when malicious lies are told in order to become a bestseller.
So
Ryan's response to the accusations in Tatum's book.
Well, now here is the follow-up.
Hold on a second. I just want to make a point. So the allegation, is she alleging in the book that this, that she was sexually abused as a child?
She was saying that she talked very candidly to Dateline, Stone Phillips, and in her book she claims that after she got her Oscar nomination for Paper Moon, she said, quote, that he sucked me, and if she's blocked it out, it's no wonder. She said she's not talking to her dad right now, he creeps her out, and they've been on and off, and right now they're off. So she does a lot of pretty bad things about her dad. And she says a lot of pretty bad things about John McEnroe.
She said it wasn't cool for her dad to be sleeping with her friend, which I guess would be, understandable. And then dad, Ryan O'Neal, tried to make it up by saying, well, honey, well, listen, why don't you just join us in bed?
Oh,
right?
Boy.
That's kind of the gist of the story.
You know what was really interesting is that we received a statement from a brother today. Griffin O'Neal.
Right.
He said that I am deeply disappointed in my sister Tatum's book. I love her very much, and I worry about her old habits controlling her life, causing her to forget how things really happen.
Hmm. Well, I know that John McEnroe has certainly made some allegations about that when he was married to her, that she's, it's no secret. I guess she's had some kind of history of substance abuse, and that sounds like what Griffin O'Neal is saying in his statement, too.
Did Tatum O'Neal ever mention her uncle, Shaquille?
It's always Shaq with you.
Yeah, I love Shaq. Mm-hmm. All right, so you got that. What's the other thing? More Christopher Reeve? Now, was this Robin Williams with Christopher Reeve? Hello?
Are you still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Hello?
Oh, those cell phones in L.A.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're asking about Robin Williams and Christopher Reeve.
And Robin Williams and Christopher Reeve.
Is she there?
God, I don't know. Go on.
When it's important, use a cell phone.
She's really got to stay on a hard line. Yesterday she was on a hard line when she was on with Billy Bush.
Yeah.
Hard.
She's got to stay on a
hard line. It is L.A. It's L.A., baby.
Oh, someone's calling. Oh, here she is calling back now.
L.A. is my lady.
Hello?
How have you been?
Yeah. Smoozer. Smoozer.
Here's the thing, Nancy O'Dell. You got to start calling us on a hard line.
Yeah? The problem is right after the show, they're always sending me out to another shoot, so I'm always on my cell phone. And cell phone in L.A.?
They just don't work.
That's terrible.
That you just got to find a hard line. Okay, so listen, what's the other thing tonight? Robin Williams, Christopher Reeve, what was that?
Yeah, it was. I did an interview with Robin Williams this morning. It was such a great interview because he talked about there was a memorial service for Christopher Reeve yesterday for his close family and friends, and Robin Williams was his best friend. They went to Juilliard together, and so they've been friends for 25 years, something like that. He was talking about the Memorial Day, and he said, you know, it was this great fall day, and it was as if Christopher was there. The leaves were falling, and, you know, he said after it was over with, that the kids and all were playing football, and he goes, it just dawned on him that, you know, this is life. This is what happens. You know, you live, and then you die. And he goes, it helped him kind of deal with it. And he goes, but he was shocked, just as everybody else was. He really didn't expect his death at this point in time, because, in fact, he was eating lunch with him one time, and he said that, you know, he just all of a sudden, he goes, guess what? And he started moving his fingers, and so he thought that he was going to be, he actually thought that he would eventually walk.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would imagine it was pretty unique, because Robin Williams has the reputation, and you've seen him, you know, that he's never serious, to actually catch him in a mode where he was very, very serious about that.
Yeah, he was very reflective, and he's such a good friend, and you know, I mean, just to hear Robin express it just puts it all in perspective, because he does. He gets, you know, you can see the sadness, but then he also turns it around and talks about the great good that he did. And then, you know, he would make his jokes, too, because I said to him, I said, what are some of the best memories that you have with your best friend? And he said, oh, gosh, there's so many. He goes, I can remember walking down the street, and he goes, every time we walk down the street together, people would be like, that's Superman and Popeye. Hey, Superman and Popeye.
There is a question.
He said something funny, and he said that, they would hang out together, and he would love to get his leftover women. He said Christopher was the stud, and all the women, you know, just because he associated with him,
That is obviously the story you've got to do, because Christopher Reeve is still there. Here's my question. I don't know how you're going to stack out the stories tonight, but exactly how are you going to seg from that touching story about Robin Williams and Christopher Reeve to Tatum O'Neal? How are you going to do that? Do you have, like, what do you have to go in between?
Yeah, you had a bridge story there.
Commercial break.
Commercial perfect.
All right, final thing for you, Nancy.
Robin Williams is talking about Christopher, and he was mesmerized by the things that he said about his friend, and just listening to him talk about how much he loved him and what a great guy he was. It's such a compelling story. We lead with that. And then Tatum O'Neal, I think, is on the third part of the show.
So how old?
A couple of commercial breaks in between.
Last question. How old is Nipsey Russell today?
Oh, that's a good question.
How'd he
be?
Okay. Right, he's 80 today. You might want to work that in tonight, too. I love his collars.
Birthday?
Nipsey Russell and his giant collars.
His giant collars.
Oh, wow.
All right, listen, get yourself a real phone that you plug into the wall. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, Nancy.
Okay, guys.
All right, bye, honey.
Have a good one.
Have you been? Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And she is from Accent Hollywood.
That's right, honey.
There she is.
Do like to get serious, though.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because they're all on that now, and you know, it'll be over probably in a couple of
years.
And
you don't have Brittany Fetterline as your lead.
Brittany Fetterline can affect the interview by her mood.
You get the impression Odell never heard of Nipsey Russell?
Yes,
I did.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Also, I bet they don't have this tonight on Access Hollywood.
Access.
Jim Carrey became a U.S. citizen yesterday.
He wasn't before?
No, he's Canadian.
Uh-huh. He's Canadian?
Now, listen to this.
So sneaky.
Listen to this. Hold on. He's got dual citizenship.
Well, that's even sneakier.
You know what this makes him?
A spy?
A double agent, Mike.
A double agent. He is spy. He is spy. We must take him into the back room and interrogate
him. I'm running out of time. This is not even, it got nothing to do with entertainment. Walmart. The machine that is Walmart.
Yes, the secondary store to Target.
This is why I love Walmart.
Oh, what are they doing now?
Here's what they're doing. They are lowering...
Driving businesses out of small towns?
Yes. They are lowering the prices of CDs.
Wow.
They are saying CDs are overpriced, and we are going to charge $10 for CDs at Walmart. Now, the record companies say, hold on a second, this deal will never fly.
Right.
Walmart said, it's very simple. It doesn't cost you $15 to make the CD. So, you either charge whatever you got to charge so we sell it for $10, or we're not going to sell your records in Walmart.
Ah, yes, wow. It's those Walmart strong arm tactics.
Right, now listen, I'm telling you, I know it's evil, I know it's like, you know, it's the conglomeration thing, but This is what I love about Walmart.
Yes, Walmart taking over the world.
This is what I love. Now,
well, you know, you're not going to be singing that tune when you're standing in line for toilet paper.
For instance, Mike, when you buy a CD for $15.99,
mm-hmm.
and this is irrelevant to the Walmart story.
You know what this means?
What?
This means that someday it's all going to be one brand.
That's fine with
Walmart. No, it's not fine with you.
That's fine with me.
No, you love your brand names, and someday you're not going to have choice.
I get all.
Don't you know what this means?
Get all my brand names at Walmart.
Yeah, but they're not going to have brand names anymore. It's all going to be, as soon as they get all the brand names wiped out, they're going to have Walmart brand cookies. And they're going to have Walmart toilet paper, Walmart, and it's not going to be as good as the real.
Ouch. Yes, it will.
I don't think so.
Because that smiley face told me so.
I don't think so.
And I love the smiley face James Bond ads.
Yeah, boy, the password is LCD. Lowest common denominator. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well.
Hey, look at that. Low prices, smiley face.
Don Geronimo.
Hi there. And maybe you don't know my real name. My lowest common denominator real name.
Michael Soul.
Anyway, listen. Here's where your money goes when you buy a CD for, let's say, $15.99, okay. Regardless if you get it at Evil Walmart or Sam Goody or anywhere else.
Tower.
$15.99, Tower, right. Cost the record company 17 cents for every CD for the unions, mm-hmm. musicians' unions.
Right.
80 cents to package and manufacture the CD.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, packaging.
Yeah.
Publishing royalties, 80 cents. Retail profit, 80 cents. Distribution, 90 cents. Artist royalties. How much does an artist make for every CD sold?
There are
generally different contracts, but the standard one gives the artist $1.60
okay.
for every CD sold. How much does the label make? $1.70 for every one that's sold.
Amazing.
How about for promotion? This is where they start killing you.
Which is really the record company, too. All right.
$2.40. Notice, please, that's higher than any of the other fees, but wait, there's more. Label overhead.
Wink.
That costs $2.91 per CD.
Label overhead?
And, Mike, that's topped by retail overhead of $3.89. Now, I started this as a gag with the Walmart versus Target thing. And I agree with you. I'm the last guy that wants communism.
Right.
However, Walmart is making a valid point here.
Mm-hmm.
These CDs, if you go through and see, even if you give the artists their royalties and give the label their profit, you still, between marketing and promotion, label overhead, and retail overhead, you're talking about on a $15.99 CD, that's $3, $5, $7, $8, $9, almost $10 of the $15.99 you pay goes for marketing and promotion, label overhead, and retail overhead.
But I'm going to tell you something with this. Walmart is asking the record companies to lower their fees, but do you know who gets the most money out of a CD? What did you just mention? The most expensive, the biggest number there was retail overhead. And I bet Walmart isn't backing off on theirs. They want everybody else to back off.
They are.
But you know what? Walmart habitually takes $1 to $2 loss on every
CD.
They want you to come in to buy the CD and pick up other stuff.
That's part of their whole thing. Is they say, we're going to drop it to $10 and we're going to drop our retail overhead.
But they're still making a profit.
You bet your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called volume,
right.
volume.
Yeah, they're not doing anything out of the goodness of their heart for anybody.
So anyway, you know, just be advised where your money goes when you buy a CD.
Well, and the most money, of course, hey, when you total them all up, the most money goes to the record company because cocaine is expensive.
Still they're doing that?
Wow, that's incredible.
You know, people are always coming up to me on the street and saying, Don, how can you make money showing those
volume.
Repeats? Well, the answer is simple.
Volume. Hold on, here is Marty in San Francisco. Marty.
Donaldo, Miguel,
how have you been?
I'm doing fantastic. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Since Jim Carrey's got dual citizenship, does he get to celebrate both Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
That is a good call right there.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah, all right. October and November.
Hold on. What do I got? I'm running out of time. Oh, all right. Here's your feel good. Guy wins the lottery.
Right. Cool.
In California.
Mm-hmm.
32-year-old guy. $87 million he
wow.
won in the lottery.
Incredible.
Split it with four friends.
Okay.
But still he ended up with, you know, his take-home was like $13 million after mm-hmm. taxes. Guy is at the Seattle St. Louis game this weekend.
All right.
He's at a bar up in Seattle watching the Seahawks game. He is he's a big Seahawks fan. He gets in a fight with some guy.
Oh, no.
Goes out in, now keep in mind this, the $13 million man goes out in the crowd, sees other people fighting, brings out his handgun.
Oh, this is the lottery winner?
Yeah, the lottery winner. And shot a couple of rounds up into the air to settle down all of the people who were fighting. But guess what? The cops showed up, and the cops said, oh, hey, wait, there's a guy with a gun. We better shoot him, so he's dead.
Wow. That's a feel-good.
Sure is. And all that money.
Man, oh man.
All that money.
Well, somebody's going to get it. Hope it went to his widow.
The widow retard.
The widow card.
Listen, we've got exactly 40 minutes till Ditka.
40 minutes to Ditka.
Wow. But there is still time for you to be a big wiener right now. This, of course, is the theme music that kids all over America recognize.
Everybody gets excited when you hear this song.
As being the theme for our game, Where Are You?
Where Are You?
Not Where Are You, like what city are you in?
No,
but
we don't care.
Where are you listening to the show?
Yes, the most unusual location wins this contest.
That you're listening to the show right now, Ad. Wherever you are, from San Francisco up to Maine. It's 508 on the East Coast right now. Where are you listening to the show? Call us at 877-365-3636. We'll blow through a bunch of calls. We'll find the best one.
I always love this game because I always hope that someday somebody will call. My fantasy will be realized when we get a winner from that very special place.
And that is?
Belly of a Whale. What I've been waiting for all these years. I hope today's the day.
Listen, and when we play Where Are You Listening to the Show, here's your grand prize. A trip for four anywhere Independence Air flies.
Ooh.
DC's new low-fare airline is here. 300 flights a day to 35 different cities. Chicago, New York, Pittsburgh, Orlando, Tampa, Hilton Head, Charlotte.
Right.
FlyEye.com, Independence Air, going your own way. So you get four round trip tickets anywhere they fly and $400. But you got to be listening to the show in a unusual location.
That's right.
Okay, so we will, you know, let's take one before we go to break. We've got somebody already. Here's Jim in Reno. I have no idea what it is or where he's listening. Jim, hey.
Hey.
Calling, calling from Reno, where we're heard every day on the buzz. And where are you listening to the show?
I'm working at the convention center in a parking attendant booth.
Okay, that really sucks.
Yes, that would not be
good.
So there you go. He's out of the game.
Not interesting.
That's not what we're looking for.
Right. Not at all.
We had a great one time when the guy called us from the rendering plant.
Oh, the rendering plant, yes. Guts and hair and teeth. And
it seems to me that during this feature, death always seems to leave the calling card. Yeah. Didn't we have a guy call us one time?
From a morgue. He wanted to read the toe tag.
He was cremating bodies, as he called.
We stopped him before he read the 80-year-old woman's toe tag.
This show always features the gentle creak of the casket.
Call right now. Where are you listening? We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Sox had something to do with that decision.
It's not funny.
I beg your pardon?
What word do you have trouble with? You understand not? That's comfortable for you?
Yeah.
And funny, you've heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this doesn't work. You see, I think Sox had something to do with that decision. See, now I'm laughing.
Well, laugh loud so you can cover for the rest of us.
Hey, you like your job?
No.
Well, watch it. Let me go.
Oh, may I? Thank you. Come on, sir.
Watch it, asshole.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, but not
okay. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I think your idea is entirely ridiculous.
Noted chubby chasers, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Right. Countdown to Deep Cast. Approximately
27 minutes. How exciting is that? Until this comes.
Let's see, on the show tomorrow, we'd love to have Jon Stewart on from The Daily Show.
Boy, we are all big fans of his.
Yeah. But the bottle not open on that one for the genie to fly out.
That's a shame. Well, too big, huh?
So I think we'll have the head writer on from The Daily Show. I'd be interested to talk to that dude, how they put that show together.
That is one of the best shows on television.
They do a good job.
Let me see. Tomorrow, the Jeff RD, because we have to move that to from Friday. And
I'm the head writer.
Tell me again.
I'm the head writer.
Yeah, we'll need that tape tomorrow.
Sure.
Later this week, Charlie Casserly, our friend who's the general manager of the Houston Texans.
Charlie Casserly, Don.
Also, Sylvester Stallone's mother.
Jacqueline Stallone.
Jackie Stallone.
Wonderful.
She's psychic, you know.
I'm going to tell you the winner of the election.
And she's going to have her dogs psychically predict the winner of the election.
Good luck getting her to shut up. I swear, just trying to book her.
Hey, bite your tongue, whippersnapper.
Also, don't forget this week, Rich Eisen will be on for the Pick the Pros. Watch Rich's show, NFL Total Access, on the NFL Network. Rich is sponsored every Friday by Tower Records, Tower.com. Nobody has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love than Tower. And hold on, oh, here's the music. Sorry about that. That's it. That's all I had to read. Crazy Mark Cuban has become infatuated with our late night replay of the show in Dallas.
Cool. That can't be bad.
And Crazy Mark Cuban is emailing Beth Ann every day, wanting to come on the show now.
Apparently, a rich guy likes us.
Because, you know, in Dallas, we're run, I think it's some ridiculous, like, midnight till 4 a.m.
Oh, hell, tell him to buy a radio station and put us on.
Anyway, I think Crazy Mark Cuban's coming on the show as well.
Well, I like Mark Cuban.
Where are you right now listening to this show? Playing for $400 and a 4 round trip tickets anywhere that Independence Air flies. Let's start right here. A guy named Jonathan. Jonathan, hello.
God.
I had to delete that one out.
Yeah. You can't jump right in like that.
That was Rob's.
Troublemaker, you.
That was Rob's finger guy.
Well, I guess Rob's being a little rough. I'll let you know Rob.
Hello.
In a way, that's allowing him to say that. I declined that call.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Who's this? Susan?
Hi, guys.
Hi there, Susan. Where are you listening to our show today?
I'm calling you from the sea of hopeless despair.
From a sea of helpless despair, and where would that be?
Hopeless. I'm right outside of D.C.
And?
And I just got a phone call from the mechanic telling me that the problem with my daughter's car is that her engine is blown up.
So you're not calling from any really unusual place. You're just describing your state of mind.
Well, it's unusual for me.
So... Right, pound sand.
See you later.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, Dakota.
Hi.
Hi, Dakota. Where are you listening to our show today?
I'm in Spokane, Washington.
Okay, is this one of Bruce Willis or Demi Moore's kids?
I didn't mean specifically where in Spokane. It might be up there, Mike.
Right.
Don't all those movie stars like live up there by Idaho and Montana?
Well, I was thinking Dakota. Are you saying Dakota the name of the lady or Dakota?
No, that's her name.
And what are they? Rumor Scout?
Rumor and Scout.
You know, four-wheel drive, all those names. For
Valvoline.
Sea Spray, Velveeta.
Pepsodent. Anyway, Dakota, thank you for listening in the state of Washington, but specifically, where are you listening to the show?
Well, I was dripping wet because I jumped out of the shower, but I had to get back in because I was freezing. So I'm in my shower.
You had to get what? You're in your shower right now?
I'm in the shower.
Say it again slowly.
So she's listening to us in the shower. Yes, would you say that slowly again?
I'm in the shower.
And we don't do it as much as we used to, but we can certainly ask you the celebrity you most resemble.
Probably Brittany Murphy.
Brittany Murphy.
Murphy. Well, then you probably need a bath. I mean, no, I'm just commenting on Brittany Murphy.
Yeah,
no,
we all
you.
Have
not
the
you.
Exact same reaction.
All right, hold on. Dakota, we'll keep you in play just because you're a woman in the shower.
Amen.
Here is Shelley in Wisconsin. Shelley.
Yes.
Shelley, baby, where are you listening to the show at today?
We are in Green Bay, and I am an armored truck driver.
You're in an armored car right now?
I sure am. I got a gun and a lot of money.
Wow. That's new. Good. That might be the leader right now.
This is better now. We're going to have to find a way to prove this, but You are a finalist. Hold on.
Yeah, I think in order for her to prove it, she's going to have to take out a citizen.
Hello there. Let's see. Who's this? Jason.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Hi there, Jason. Where are you listening to our show today?
I am at the corner of Edmondson Avenue and Stanford counting cars for my job.
You're counting cars?
Yes.
No.
Good job.
Not big enough.
Loser.
What do you do if you lose count?
See you later.
403.
Useless tool.
No, start again.
What kind of useless tool gets that job?
And obviously very focused on it if he took the time to call you guys.
Right.
Hello, Meg.
Hi.
Hi, Meg. Where are you listening to our show?
I am in my backyard naked in my hot tub.
Wow. Well, we gotta keep her in play along with the shower lady.
I think we got to lose the shower lady.
Yeah, then. She's naked in her hot tub. Right. Stops that.
Hold on, Megan. Hold on. Hey, Dakota?
Yes.
Sorry. Hot tub beats shower.
Hey, okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
It's like paper, rock, scissors.
God bless you.
And if you really do look like Brittany Murphy, please eat a sandwich.
Here is Ron, also in the state of Washington. Ron, where are you listening to our show?
Air Force Survival School.
You're at Air Force Survival School.
Right, now, this is, again, one that's interesting.
Right. What are you in the middle of doing right now?
I'm just about done for the day, and I thought I would call you guys.
Well, what's the most interesting thing you've done at Air Force Survival School?
Yell at people.
Yeah, not give them every chance in the book. Yeah.
We get that here all the time. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Horonto. Here is Mike in Canada. Mike.
How you doing?
Mike, where are you listening?
From an igloo.
You're in an igloo?
Come on, I don't believe that.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, get out of here. And that's Horonto.
You're right. Yeah.
Here's Matt in Reno. Matt, where are you listening?
Radio Gods.
Howdy.
I am listening from a radio station.
Okay, ass.
No, I'm serious. A competing radio station. I'm programming a competing radio station.
Okay, hold on.
Okay. No, that might count.
Competing.
It's very rare. If you're on the level, you're going to get something from me not many people get. I apologize for calling you an ass.
Thank you, sir.
If, in fact, you are truly calling from a competing radio station in Reno, what is the station you're calling from?
Do I have to stay?
Yeah, the only way you can win is...
That's the whole point.
Yeah, even though you probably won't win, but we want to hear it.
KRZQ.
KRZQ, and what is there at that station?
We're all alternative rock.
All right, now here's my question. Is it owned by the same company that owns our radio station?
Nope.
You're a finalist.
Thank you, sir.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, if it's in that same building, you know.
Yeah, but it's not.
Right.
But if it's not. Just said it's not.
Yeah.
Michelle in California. Michelle.
Hi.
My Belle. Wow. Michelle, where are you listening to our show?
I am not in the belly of a whale, but I am in the belly of a 28-foot Airstream.
you're in a trailer?
Yeah.
No,
yeah, I'm in an Airstream.
No. Wait a minute.
Mom, I couldn't understand her. What was she saying?
Trailer trash. Where is Ben? Sacramento. Hi, Ben. Ben,
how are you guys?
We're doing great. Where are you listening to the show, Ben?
I'm actually at Meeling's Massage Parlor here in Sacramento.
You're where?
Meeling's Massage Parlor.
Meeling's Massage Parlor.
Now, is that the type of massage parlor where you go for a happy ending?
Not in the state of California. Yeah, that's the same place.
All right.
And it's called Meeling's?
Meeling's.
How do you spell it?
M-I-L-I-N-G.
Are you inside the place right now?
That is affirmative.
Are you on the, bench or table or whatever you are on?
Actually, I'm on the on-deck circle.
Ah.
The waiting room. You know, this guy might even trump the guy that works at the competing station.
Yeah, if he gets into one of the rooms, you know.
Yeah, hold on a second. We'll keep him playing. Hold on a second.
In the on-deck circle.
He's a finalist. Here's Mike in Iowa. Mike, where are you listening to our show today?
Hola, I am about ready to climb my deer stand with a bow. I'm hunting deer in the woods.
Yeah, you got a bow in your hand, and you're hunting deer. You're out at a deer stand.
Yes, I am.
Right. Now the problem with this, my brother, as you know, is really into hunting with the bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wisconsin opened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, hey there. But it's not like we can hear the sound of the boing-oing-oing-oing of the, you know, the Robin Hood thing going.
Yeah, and it's not like if he, you know, hits a deer, it's going to go, ow!
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So
that's true.
So thank you, but not thick enough.
Happy good hunting.
Here is Rob in... Reno, there you go. Hold on. Rob, hello.
Rob, are you there?
Rob?
Hello.
No, not you, Rob.
You, Rob, this guy. I'm trying to get this line. Hey, Rob, are you... This is Rob who says the guy from the Reno radio station is lying.
He is lying. He's in the same building. It's on East 2nd Street. He is lying. It's near downtown. They're all in the same building. KWNZ, KRZQ, and KBZZ.
Well, here's the thing. It's easy to find. Is the station that he mentioned, is it owned by the company that owns our radio station?
Yes. They're all. I almost got a job there as a sales guy, and they're all...
Hold on. I'll put you on with them. Hey, dude.
They are owned by two separate companies, dude.
All right, you want
same building, two companies.
My fault. I thought
no connection whatsoever.
All right. My fault.
It would be illegal.
All right. Still in?
All right. Hold on. He's still in.
All right. So they're in the same building though.
But still, it would
different
be
companies.
Like
you
different.
Almost took advice from a guy who almost was bright enough to get a job as a sales guy.
Shelley, Wisconsin. Shelley?
Yeah.
Did we talk to Shelley already?
I thought we did show.
I'm the armored truck, Doug.
She's still a finalist, Don. Right. She's in the armored truck.
I'm sorry. John in New York. John, of New York. Hey, Johnny, where are you listening to our show?
I'm actually in Walmart, and I just bought a bunch of Sony PlayStation games. The problem is I don't have a PlayStation. My kids are going to be very upset.
And why would that win on this game?
What the hell are you doing?
You're nuts on a couple of levels.
I just feel awful, and I was wondering if you guys could give me a PlayStation.
No!
They're going to be really upset.
No, go to hell,
bad
idiot.
Caller.
Here's Bob in Virginia. Bob!
Hey, yes.
Bob, where are you listening, Bob?
I'm in the Fauquier County Jail using my one telephone call to call you guys.
Now, let me just say, if this one can be proven...
Yeah, we'd have to really prove it.
But we got to know the circumstances. How could it be that you could be in jail and have your one phone call...
You're in a payphone right now?
Yeah.
But we just announced this bit.
I know, it's playing in the background on the radio.
We just announced this bit like 20 minutes ago.
I know.
So they've got us on the radio there. Can you put an officer on?
No, I can't.
You can't.
I'm not in a spot. I'm in a holding cell.
All right. You know what? Hold on a second. I got the number here on caller ID. 34. And let me see what happens.
Hey, it's real easy. We call the Fauquier County Jail. We get the guy's name. We find out if the guy's in there.
Let me see. Shouldn't it say something like you're calling a prison? Well, it's ringing.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Yeah, hey,
Call Fauquier County Jail. Find out, get the guy's name off the air, and we'll find out if he's we should find out what he's in for.
Yeah, what are you in for?
Hello?
Hold on, Beth Ann. Hey, dude, what are you in for?
DWI.
DWI. Now, Beth Ann...
It was an outstanding warrant.
Ah, okay. An outstanding warrant.
Beth Ann, have this guy give you his name. Off the air, and then please contact the jail to find out if they've got this guy arrested.
Okay. What line is he on?
He's on line 3.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
And if it's a DWI and the prize is air tickets, you know, he won't be doing his own transportating? That's right.
You know what?
Thank
really,
you.
He should keep his spirits high, because even though he has a DWI, he can still be vice president.
Here is Gary.
That's right.
Gary.
Twice.
Gary in Idaho. Gary.
Don Mike.
Yeah, where are you listening, my friend?
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
I love you.
I love you, sir. Good to hear.
I'm sitting in an M60 tank in front of the Veterans Building on Highway 41.
Wait a minute. You're in a tank? You're in a tank?
In the tank. I got permission from the people that are running the Veterans Building. So they let me get in the tank.
Now, is it one of those decorative tanks that's out there, you know, where they put them outside of historic buildings?
I've seen going to Ocean City when you're going down Route 50, when you pass, I think it's the National Guard or whatever,
And basically, if the two guys pan out, the guy at the Fauquier County Jail and that guy, we got two guys in the tank.
Hello, Beth Ann?
Yeah.
Did you check that guy out?
Yeah, it didn't take long to check him out. Just guess what his last name was.
What?
Smith.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. There you go. Thank you, DA. See you later. Let's try this guy, Chris, in California. Chris.
Don and Mike, what's happening, Radio God?
Where are you listening to our show today?
I am in a tractor building a corn pit. I'm about 60 feet up in the air. We're harvesting corn in Manteca, California, and I'm up high building a massive corn pit in a tractor.
A corn pit? What's a corn pit?
Well, we harvest the corn, turn it into silage to feed to the cows on a dairy. And what I do is I got a tractor with a big blade on the front, and I build it up into a big, tall pile because you got to pack it down so it doesn't spoil. And right now I'm about 60 feet up in the air up on top of the pit, just overlooking the highway.
Well, that's fascinating.
Hold on, but really not thick enough.
We love corn.
Not sponge worthy.
Yeah.
Hello, Ben.
Gentlemen.
Ben, where are you listening to the show?
I'm actually listening to it. I'm at Meeling's Massage Parlor.
Oh, you're the guy in the massage parlor. Okay.
Give me on Big Circle.
I forgot about him. Oh, yeah. Let me go back to him. Ben, have you been allowed to move into the whatever area it is you move into now? The if you're in the On Deck Circle, I mean, are you at that? Are you at that?
No, I've actually paid my fee, and now I'm waiting for a vacancy.
You're waiting for a vacancy.
Uh-huh. Yes, waiting to be able to
Would it be possible that you could get one of the whores and tell them they're going to be on the radio to come on the phone with us?
Limited English. I could try.
Okay, please do.
Yeah.
Please do.
Mama.
Now see, right away. Yeah. See, we're catching him here.
Mama.
What's he saying? Mama?
Mama.
Mama. Mama, come talk on the phone. Come talk on the phone.
No. Yeah, this is why we have to get our screening process.
Yeah, Meeling.
Mama, come talk on phone.
Right.
Here is Jim in Vermont. Hi, Jim. Where are you listening to our show?
Hi, Don. I'm in a wood stove.
Now, how the hell do you prove that you're in a wood stove?
Well, I guess because of the I guess because I think you can hear the echo behind me.
Why are you fitting into a wood stove?
It's a rather large wood stove.
Of course, it's a rather large wood stove.
What a stupid question.
We're coming down to the countdown to Ditka. We have, as finalists thus far, we have Shelley in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The lady in Green Bay who was in the armored car.
Right.
Then who else did we keep?
We kept the lady in the hot tub, I believe.
Right, that was Meg.
And, you know, really, I just think the lady in the armored car, if she can prove it.
I like the guy at the radio station.
Yeah, he was a finalist, too.
This is a competing radio station. Shelley in Green Bay?
Yeah.
Shelley, how can you prove to us that you're listening to us in an armored car?
I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Do you have a siren in that thing?
A siren? No, I'm not allowed to have a siren, unfortunately.
You must have a two-way radio.
You know what? You know,
Here you go. Give us some facts about the armored car.
We've got steel-plated, bulletproof glass. We've got buttons inside that open the side doors and the back door. And then when I go into places, I give them their empty bags from the banks. And then I bring back their money. I went to the casinos today. I picked up, I think we had probably, well, we had over a couple million, so. Wow.
You had a couple million in your car?
Oh, yeah.
How much do you have right now in the car?
Right now, let me look in the back quick. Well, unfortunately, I got a lot of change orders, but I'm guessing about a million or so.
About a million bucks.
About a million. Yeah. And where's the car located right now?
Right now, while we were waiting, we made it back to the vault. So we've got to wait outside the vault to get in.
What's your prime training? What's your prime directive? What do you have to be careful of?
Well, definitely when we get in and out of the truck, we got to watch for people. Right. Obviously, be looking at us funny. You get a lot of comments. I get a lot of comments about, ooh, lady with a gun. You know, same typical no offense male response. Good.
I agree she is.
I think she's legit.
I agree she is, but I'm fascinated. Hold on, just give me a second.
Fascinated with the DJ?
Yeah, radio thing today.
But he's a radio guy,
Hey, guys.
Mike, way to trump me.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me just say, if we were playing checkers, I would have to king you right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You're a radio guy. You can't win.
Radio guys can't win.
Why not?
Because you're a radio guy. Because
you're a radio guy.
That's the thing we have.
Let me tell the girl in the hot tub, Meg?
Yes?
Meg?
Yes, I'm almost losing you.
Meg, we never got the celebrity you most resemble.
I would say Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan. Oh, yes. You know, as great as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
A wilted Meg Ryan now, because this stuff is hot.
Darling, I'm so sorry. We're going to have to go with Shelley. Green Bay.
From an armored car. Absolutely. Any woman who's packing heat right now.
She's the winner.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
The only other way we can prove it is to have you fire your gun inside the armored car, but that might be dangerous.
You know, I don't think my partner's going to like it if I shoot him.
Well, listen, here's the deal. You've won a trip for four anywhere Independence Air flies.
You're kidding.
Right. No. Go to Orlando, Tampa. Get out of Wisconsin. Enjoy it, Shelley, and thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Can't you do anything? I mean, can't you?
The radio.
Yeah. Real quick.
Can you tap the butt of your gun up against the wall of the armored car?
Hang on a second. I'm not supposed to do this, so don't tell anybody, all
right? Right.
Hang on.
Right,
listen.
Right. Don't tell anybody.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Why not?
All right. If I get fired, you guys are going to owe me.
All right, darling.
We're not supposed to be holstered.
Okay, no problem. Yeah.
I bet you're probably not. I bet you're probably not supposed to call radio shows either.
Yeah, that's right.
When you're driving around with $1 million in your truck.
Hey, don't tell anybody that either.
Okay. Not supposed to leave holster.
Yeah, hey there. All right, hold on there, Shelly. There.
All right, thanks.
Stacks of cash.
She seemed like a real sweet lady. What if we was duped? Well, you never know, do you?
You never know, but there were a lot of change orders, probably about $1 million.
Well, maybe she was just like taking a black pump off and hitting up against the door of a Toyota.
Correct. Who knows, Margie?
Which I really thought when we just heard that sound.
Me too. But we got a break for a Ditka.
Somebody's got to win.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let me have Ditka for $100. All right, Ditka's styling mousse.
Carl.
Nexus Pro Formula 7000.
Carl, you are on the board.
Let's go back to Ditka for $200.
All right. True or false, Ditka can affect the weather according to his mood.
Fact.
True.
It is true.
Right now, let's pause for this commercial.
The Don and Mike Show. Charmingly ghetto. The Don and Mike Show.
You got him on the phone, Rob? He's right there. Big moment for me, Mike.
I know that you are. You've been about as excited as I've ever seen you with any guest we've ever had on the show.
Coach?
How are you, fellas?
Mike Ditka.
Yeah.
Mike Ditka.
Ditka's on the show. Finally, we have you on the show. Welcome, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it. Good to be here.
First off, I'll give you a little background. I've already gone through this with my boys to tell you. I'm a lifelong Packers fan. However, I worked in Chicago for about 6 years. The time I worked in Chicago was when you happened to take the job, when you had the curly hair. And I love you. I love everything about you. You energized the city. I remember when you broke your hand because you were so mad that the Bears lost. I love the way that you got Fridge into the game. I love everything about you, Coach. And you know what? Even all those years after I've left Chicago, we still play tapes of you on our show.
Yeah, they're a little crazy, aren't they?
Here is, before we, and I know we're going to talk about tackling men's health, I just wanted to play you the greatest bit of tape that you've ever given us that we use on our show.
How many years, seriously, have we been playing this tape of the coach? It's the coach on a radio show, right?
It's got to be at least 12 or 13. It was when you were still coaching the Bears.
Fantastic piece of tape.
You're downtown doing a radio show, and some jerk calls, and listen now, here's Mike Ditka. You've heard this on our show plenty of times.
I want to know, instead of getting mad at the way his team played, why did, during the press conference, why did it appear that Mike was holding back, trying not to cry like the baby that he is?
Yeah, Neil, I tell you what you are, I can't say on the air. But I tell you what, I'm 53 years old, and I my office is at 250 North Washington. Anytime you want to meet me there, you call me back on the air, you tell me what time and when, and I'll whip your ass.
Hold on, here's the best part, Coach. Here's
you
the
got
best
that
part.
Big boy?
Here's the best part.
It's easy to hide behind a microphone, son.
We love that.
Let's get your face out in public and let's live where people have to see you every day and we'll see who the gutless wonder is.
Yeah. I cannot tell you how many times we've played that with our idiot callers.
Well, that guy was an idiot. There's no question. You got that part right.
All right, let me see. Coach, when you were with the Saints, you drafted Ricky Williams. You got rid of all the draft picks. You were on the cover of ESPN with him. What do you think about what's happened to Ricky Williams now?
Well, what happened to it, he brought on himself. I mean, nobody caused Ricky Williams' problem but himself. He evidently thought smoking dope and hanging out with Lenny Kravitz was what he wanted in life, and that's what he did. And then he left his teammates, his coaching staff, the organization and the owner high and dry after he took $8.4 million from him. I would say he's a pretty undependable, unreliable, unaccountable guy. What do you think?
Do you think how about that? That's Mike Ditka. Yeah, I agree, Mike.
Coach, Mike, do you think that he's got any chance at all if he was to get himself together? Do you think after what he's done, do you think he'd have any chance of gaining the respect of players in the NFL and maybe making a comeback and coming back?
Yeah, I think if he gets himself straightened out,
right,
and he comes back and people know it and they apologize and plays football,
mm-hmm,
plays football the way that he could play football when he came to me at New Orleans, I think, yeah, there's a chance somebody will take him. Actually, the guy who takes all these reclamation projects is out in Oakland. I'm sure he'd take him.
Hey, I can't tell you, as I mentioned, I'm a huge fan. I've seen what you can do with the team and what you did with Chicago. When you went to New Orleans and you signed Ricky Williams that day, when you had on a Hawaiian shirt and you had a big cigar and the dreads, I thought, you know what? It's going to happen in New Orleans. It's going to happen. It's going to happen just like it did with the Bears, except in a different way, because you pushed all your chips right in the middle of the table and said, I want this guy. So, Christ, what a letdown.
Yeah, it was. You're right. But, you know, the reason I went down to New Orleans in the first place, people don't understand the three Super Bowls that we won were all played in New Orleans. As an assistant coach, a head coach, a player, they were all played in New Orleans. So I thought it was divine intervention. This was meant to happen. God was calling on me to go there and save this team from the curse of the whatever she was, the voodoo woman. Evidently, right. It didn't happen, so there must be a curse down there. And I look at him playing right now, and I think there is a curse.
Yeah, it seems like it.
When you watch it now, when you watch the games now, nothing's the same as when you played or even when you ran the Bears and then left to run the Saints. Who you like now? I mean, you see a guy like Shockey, and they say, he's like Ditka. Because when you played, you were tough. I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm asking you, Mike, who do you like right now? Who would you like to have on your team?
I like the tight end in Baltimore.
Todd Heap?
Yeah, I like him the best. I really do. I mean, there's a lot of good tight ends out there. Shockey could be great, but he's got too big a mouth. I never talk when I played. I just played.
Mm-hmm.
And your Gonzalez is an outstanding football player. I have a lot of respect for him. The kid Crumper is a good player down there. And the kid Graham in New England is, you know, there's a lot of guys getting better. This tight end out in San Diego is starting to catch on pretty good, too. So, you know, you look around the league, there are a lot of them. I don't have the time to spend to really analyze what the tight end does beside catching the ball. That's all they show. But I know one thing, a lot of them are knocking people off the ball. If they knock people off the ball, then I really have a lot of respect for them. But I think Shockey has a lot of talent, just a matter of whether he uses it or not.
No, when you came into the league, I mean, wasn't it true that you kind of were instrumental in changing the tight end position, right? You were one of the first guys that really made it part of the passing game, isn't that right?
Well, that Coach Hallis did that. He's the one that used me. Any other team that would have drafted me, I would have been a linebacker. So he made me a tight end. And then he used me in such a way that he threw the football to me. So, you know, I think I caught, my first year I caught 56 passes, but 12 or more touchdowns. That was unheard of. You know, so you're talking one out of five passes is a touchdown, basically.
Right.
And, one out of five. So anyways, but that was pretty interesting stuff. So I give him all the credit. I really don't take the credit. I give it to him. I mean, John Mackey and I were probably the first two to really start catching a lot of passes.
You, when you were with the Bears, a lot of times during right before the Super Bowl, you had McMahon and then you had Fuller that would go in sometimes and play. I think the greatest Bears game I ever saw you coach was a Monday night game against Minnesota. When you started, I think it was Fuller. Anyway, what's the story with this? Where, like, you guys were down two or three touchdowns way late. McMahon is not supposed to play. He goes in the game, and the first play was like an 80-yard TD to, I think, the Willie Gault.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
You're right.
How many TDs did McMahon throw in that game?
The next 2.5 minutes, he threw three more, so we went on to win the game by 14 points or something.
Was that the most amazing game you've ever coached?
And that was a game that really turned us around. We knew we could play offense with anybody when that happened. But Jim was a great player, great quarterback, but he had been hurt, really, and I really thought we could beat those guys with Steve. I mean, it didn't matter. I was probably as wrong as Jim, but he bothered me so much, I finally put him in to prove to him that he couldn't play, and then he proved me wrong again. But nobody realizes on that first play, the guy that made it work was a guy named Walter Payton, because he blocked two guys. Yeah. And he enabled Jim to get the pass off to Willie, and it was a touchdown. And then, like I said, after that, all hell broke loose.
I don't want to get sappy because it's not what we do, but Walter Payton, you had a unique relationship with him. You know, there's nobody like him except maybe Emmett Smith now. Why was Walter Payton so great? From someone who worked with him every single day, from your standpoint, why was he so great?
Well, because not only was he a great football player, I mean,
as a man, why was he such a great guy?
Because he took time for people. He never turned anybody down, never turned a kid down, never turned an autograph down that I've ever seen. You know, people would say, hey, Walter, would you do this? And you'd say, you know, he may not give you an answer, but you know what? he'd come around, he'd end up showing up at that school or talking to those kids or doing whatever you ask him to do. He was special in that way. He gave back. I think too many athletes today forget to give back. Hey, you know, we're only here for a short while. We're passing through. You know, they're going to give us a chance to play with the ball for a while. Hey, have some fun with it. Don't take yourself too serious and enjoy it.
All right.
That's what he did.
And, Coach, now, before we talk about tackling men's health, if you don't mind me bringing up this Levitra thing.
Yeah.
The ads. Now, when you started doing the ads, boy, it's Coach Ditka. Did you have to take it?
Yes.
And did it help?
Yes.
Are you?
Is it the best one? Yes.
Yes. And
Levitra is the best. It works. It's the one I took. I had to take it. All those things are true.
Okay.
And okay.
Well,
I can't give you any.
Even.
Okay. I think our news guy, Buzz Burbank, I think he's got some. You've had that, haven't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Buzz has those things.
Now, when you first did the commercial, what was the response when you're walking through an airport? And I mean, you're the guy who's got the face on the new.
Right. Role. Yeah. Absolutely.
What kind of response you get when you go through an airport? You walk down a street where you're known.
It really never changed. It was always, "Hi, Coach, how you doing?" I mean, it really never changed because I did the commercials. The only comments I ever got about that were from my friends.
Yeah, I was.
Basically, they wanted samples, you know.
Oh, right.
I mean, that was the only thing, you know, I never got comments from anybody outside of that, believe me.
I would assume, you know, if you see Ditka in an airport, you're not going to, you know, you're going to bust his chops. There are a lot of people you bust chops with, not Ditka. It's not going to happen.
Now, of all the coaches that have come back, who do you think's got the best chance of succeeding? Because you came back for the Saints. It didn't work out.
Well, Parcells has succeeded already. He won 10 games last year.
Correct.
Gibbs is a good coach. He'll do all right. I mean, what's happening down there now, they've lost for some strange reasons. Basically, the offense has turned the ball over and some other reasons. And then you look at Vermeil. They had a great year last year. And I think they'll get on track again this year. So. You know, he can't throw it. Those guys are good coaches.
You get the itch?
I have no itch, believe me.
You have no itch?
No desire to.
Not at all.
But you look at the look on their faces the other day when things aren't going good. Look at the look on the faces of some of the young coaches like Gruden when things aren't going good. It's tough, gang. It really is tough. And I've had enough of it, really. I mean, I'm an expert now. I'm in the media. I'm smarter. I know all the answers. I didn't know the answers when I was coaching. I was looking for them.
This is an important question because so many coaches and great coaches in the NFL do that. They retire and they come back. And I've always wanted to ask a coach who's done this, what is the motivating factor? What's the number one thing that drives you guys to come back, to make the comeback? You know, you're set up financially. You don't have to do it. What makes you come back and want to coach again? What's the most important thing?
The most important thing is you think you can climb the mountain one more time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You think you can get to the top of the mountain one more time. That's all they're thinking about. Joe Gibbs went back because he wants to bring the Redskins back to the glory days when he had them. Parcells wants to climb the mountain one more time.
Right.
Parcells will. They'll probably have to take him from the field to the casket. He'll coach forever. And I think it's the same with Vermeil. I mean, you know, you're always, you know, and believe it or not, there are egos involved in everything, and these guys are trying to prove somebody or something wrong and the fact that they can still do it. And that's what it's all about.
Do you ever think, here's the last thing about football, Coach. Do you ever think we're ever going to get another team like the Bears during your reign where you had Walter and you had McMahon and you had Singletary, you had Gary Fenzik.
Or is there too much parody today?
Fridge. I mean, talk about guys that had personality.
Okay, but there are teams that have guys like that, but they don't. The coaches chose not to, or the organizations choose not to show their personalities. I never reined those guys in. I let them have fun. Football's got to be fun.
Amen.
I don't care if the Giants win every game. You know, somewhere along the way, you got to laugh about it. You got to smile about it. You got to have. It's got to be fun. You know, it can't be all work and no play, because if you do that, you're going to explode and go into 1,000 pieces. So all I'm saying is, we had fun, and those guys practiced hard, played hard, and then when they went out and had fun, they had fun the hard way too. So I knew everything that was going on, but you know what? That wasn't as important as the fact that they were giving me everything they had every Sunday afternoon.
Amen. And Coach, I know you know this, but you know, and I was there for it.
You turned around that city.
Yeah.
You know, you really turned around that freaking city.
Well, I had the greatest group of guys in the world, so it was fun doing, and, you know, it was a good time.
Let's do the plug here, because this is important as well, with Coach Ditka, tacklingmenshealth.com, or call
866-NFL-HEALTH. Yeah, okay. Call that number. We'll send you a little playbook. We talk about all segments of men's health, cardiovascular, prostate, diabetes, stress, mental health, and sexual health. So give us a call. We'll send it out to you. It's worth reading. Men, listen, pay attention to the changes occurring in your body and do something about them. Go see a doctor. That's all we're telling you.
All right, Coach, we'll plug this website and give the number out again later, promise.
Appreciate it very much, guys. You did a great job.
Been a pleasure having you on the show,
I'm
Coach.
I'm going to go grab a plane. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Coach.
Bye-bye.
There he is. That's the guy right there. That's the coach right there, baby.
What can I say?
Good health, Mike, and I wish anything you wish yourself. Same to you, Larry. God bless you. Mike Ditka. Good guy.
That's a good interview. I enjoyed that, yeah.
He's Ditka all the way, isn't he?
He's pure Ditka. You get exactly what you see.
Well, that's the problem with the coaches today. They don't let the personalities come out.
You know, he chops it down to just a few sentences, but what he was saying, for those people that might not have, you know, heard what he was saying, Coach Coughlin, regardless of how many games the Giants win, is probably going to have a problem with those guys because he's reining them in
discipline.
So much.
Correct.
And just how great is it? You got to go see a doctor. That's all we're saying. Yeah.
Go
see your doctor.
Right now.
Even the plug you got in quick.
Well, yeah. I'm going to a doctor tonight.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz, here he is.
He made it up.
Buzz was there with me during those days with the Bears.
It was crazy. I even watched football in those days.
Ditka.
Didn't understand it, but I watched.
Buzz, what is your lead story on the news, the comments today?
Today, the Supreme Court will decide where you can put your Ten Commandments.
Oh, that thing. Okay, yeah. All right, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That's a big story, Buzz.
Yeah. That is for sure. Hey, I got to catch a plane.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
Professional, I got to go.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Have you noticed the leaves are starting to turn colors?
Oh, yeah.
The show's about to begin. What's that mean? Mother Nature?
Mm-hmm.
I got it. And that means some scenic drives out in the boonies.
But if you've got an OnStar equipped vehicle, you've got a cell phone built into the vehicle with strong reception in the vehicle. It's always charged in the vehicle.
Just in case you want. Wander too far off the beaten path in your vehicle.
I love OnStar, Don, and I love the phone that's built into the car because it does have better reception than my own cell phone.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free phone that is built into your OnStar-equipped vehicle.
I love pressing the little white button and having the lady with the computer voice tell me, who do you want to call? I'm just saying a name and calling somebody.
Yes. It goes, dial, minutes, abort, cancel, danger, Will Robinson.
The safe and sound plan costs only $16.95 per month, plus tax after the first year.
It's very cool, because you talk to the computer, and you say, call home, and it goes, hold, please.
And I say, plus tax.
If you don't have OnStar, hit that blue button. OnStar.com.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's good.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hold on a second. I just wasn't kind enough. That's my fault.
Yeah, you know, it's just tiny. Only you would know
that. I was laughing at the hijinks that were happening here at the studio.
Yeah, Rob wrote some extra copy for the OnStar commercial. It's good. Thank you,
and I was laughing, and that was not tight as a nun. Because this record sounds great out of a jingle. It really, as a matter of fact, I'll play our regular jingle. You never hear it.
Right,
yes, we are. Yeah. Isn't that great out of a jingle? Let me try to have another one.
Yeah.
Right.
Who plays more music?
So good. One more, just out of our regular one.
Then we'll move on here.
The Don and Mike Show.
Steady Eddie.
They're more entertaining than a litter of acrobats.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Eddie Kendricks.
That was the perfect one right there.
Thank you, Mike. And thanks so too, Buzz.
Yes.
Time for news and comments.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz brought to you by Veramax.
Someone call for a doctor.
World's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer, Dr. Develop. Clinically tested. Shame on me. Yeah. Paramax. Get it now at retailers nationwide. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Have they hired Big Don back at WQSR yet? I've not heard.
It's closing business.
You know, it just made me think. Here's a great record.
Yeah, I thought
A record by Eddie Kendricks that's so good, mm-hmm. you only hear it 8,000 times. If you're watching the Mike's ball game tonight, you'll only hear that song 8,000 times for Chevrolet.
Absolutely.
However, I defy you to find a radio station that would play it.
No. Of course, because I mean, if they're selling something, they'll do it. They'll use the rights to the song, and then you just won't hear it on regular radio.
And that made me think about radio, what's wrong with radio, mm-hmm. and I know Big Don needs to get his job back on WQSR.
One thing, yeah.
They're too busy playing My Girl.
Okay. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Nobody expected the Supreme Court to do this, much less now. After putting it off for over 20 years, they've agreed to make a decision about a very controversial issue, whether the Ten Commandments can be displayed on government buildings or property. Time and again, the justices have refused to reconsider their 1980 decision to ban the commandments from public school classrooms, in accordance with our Constitution's separation of church and state. For example, there's a monument on the grounds of the Texas Capitol that features the Jewish and Christian commandments. There are no monuments with the teachings of other religions. And there are scores of other Ten Commandments monuments around the country. They may disappear depending on what the court rules.
I say no big whoop.
Yeah, and frankly, I'm sick of the movie.
You don't like the Charlton Heston? Oh, the classic.
Like every year, what do they show it on Easter?
Spread the sea, part the sea. Spread the sea.
Would it kill him to like to put on Happy Gilmore one year?
That'd be nice.
I agree. I mean, I know it's not an Easter movie.
Well, what if we called them the 10 Suggestions?
I told you a long time ago, you will get into heaven if you at least have 6 or 7 of those on your side.
I wish you for 8. The 10 Notions. The 10 concepts.
Speaking of church and state, if you're Catholic and you were planning to vote for evil this November, you really shouldn't, according to a new Catholic voter's guide. Mm-hmm. 1/4 of America's voters are Catholic, and they have a new guide from a group called Catholic Answers to help them spot evil in political candidates.
You said spot, like
the,
spotting.
The signs, according to the brochure, are supporting a woman's right to choose, and the stem cell research that Christopher Reeve believed would let him walk again, thereby preventing his untimely death.
Oh, please. You're supposed to go into the church and do your thing and then let the politics do their thing. That's why we have the separation. The guys with the powdered wigs figured that out.
The Catholic voter guide does use the word evil. That's their word, not mine. It doesn't mention any of the candidates by name, so I'm not really sure who they're talking about.
Yeah, right.
You're right. You know, Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, Episcopalian like me, you know, Catholic like whatever.
I mean, really, go back into church,
Buddhist,
give some good sermons, and try to keep your priest from touching kids.
Atheist, whatever. You know, don't bring it into religion.
No, don't bring it into the political system.
I mean, yeah, right. Don't bring religion into politics.
It's insanity, and it seems to be getting closer and closer, and you would think as we evolved, it would get further and further apart. I don't get it.
Tonight, the third and final, some say the most crucial, debate between President Bush and John Kerry.
Now, I'm going to tell you, we will have our roundup of this on tomorrow's show. And I want to get another plug in here. For, Rod and Fez will be covering it tonight on their radio show. It's a real good thing they do. I'd steal it if the debate was on when we were on. I'd love nothing better than to run commentary while these two guys are talking tonight.
Yeah, they do a great job with that.
But tonight is the night that Kerry, now it's domestic issues.
Right.
And the moderator we had on last week is Bob Schieffer.
Right.
Bob Schieffer has written the questions himself.
Right.
He has not shown the questions to either candidate or their handlers.
Right.
So, having said that, we got the best chance tonight for Kerry to give him the knockout friggin' punch.
Don't think it's going to happen, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And don't forget that Schieffer said he had a nightmare about running out of questions about 45 minutes into the show. We'll see if that
let me just
through.
Say, Bob Schieffer, mm-hmm. I'm sure he's not listening now. He's out in Phoenix. But if you have a moment and you need to fill, try this.
Wouldn't it be heaven?
We could use that.
You know, if we just said, we're just going to pause for a moment, and then they start doing this.
Okay, well, then, you know, they never listen to my ideas.
No, I wish they would.
They never listen.
Because this is such an important, passionate, and close election, more people are registering to vote. In New York City, more than 100,000 people registered just last week, and the ones from the special registration booths around the city haven't even been counted yet. So that 1 week total for new voters could top the number of people who registered in New York in all of last year. And most of them are Democrats. In New York City, they outnumber Republicans by 5-1. In Las Vegas, meanwhile, hundreds, maybe thousands of people who think they're registered are not, because their registration forms were thrown in the trash. Come election day, these people will be turned away from the polls, and most of them are Democrats.
Hey, you know who was behind that, Mike?
Who's that?
Charlie M.
Charlie M! You told Charlie M to rip up the ballots! I'll pop your eye out! Charlie M.
Las Vegas is Channel 8.
Don't make me be a bad guy, Buzzy.
Channel 8.
KLAS-TV in Las Vegas.
KLAS-TV. KLAS. You know who watches that show?
Who?
Charlie M.
They investigated this, and they're now using the words fraud aimed at Democrats in their report.
Don't make him be a bad guy, Buzz.
Don't make me be a bad guy now. Don't make me pop your eye out of your head.
I don't want you to do that,
you
Charlie
You make me do that for Charlie M.
Nevada hired a private company to set up registration booths outside grocery stores and government buildings. And those are the forms that have vanished. The same company is now signing up people in Oregon. The company's called Voters Outreach and America Votes. Perhaps they've been to your town. Their landlord kicked them out of Vegas for not paying their rent, even though Channel 8's I-Team says the company is largely, if not totally, funded by the Republican National Committee.
So the Republican National Committee is funding an organization that goes out to register Democrats and then throws them away.
That is what the Channel 8 in Las Vegas is reporting.
Oh, my God!
And you're surprised by this?
I'm not, but I mean, you know, bust them.
Quoting a former employee of the private registration firm, "We saw her taking Democrats out of my pile. Her assistant ripped them up right in front of us. I grabbed some out of the garbage, and she tells her assistant to get those from me. The worker did, however, get some that had been put through a shredder, and Channel 8 now has copies of those."
Wow.
The I-Team for a station in Denver, meanwhile, says it found election fraud that could also keep thousands of people away from the polls. There, a private registration company called ACORN, or Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now.
Meanwhile, Channel 5 is just breaking into this bulletin here. Fox 5,
yeah?
Be careful. The food you eat tonight could kill you. Sensational details on Fox 5 News at 10.
And progress is made on the new bridge.
The Colorado investigation shows not only vanishing registration forms, but party affiliations being changed on the forms that survived. Acorn says,
"I'm Brian Bolter, terrifying charter. That's right. The killer menace. Have you flossed today, tonight, on Fox 5?
That's your TV investigation in the nation's capital, as opposed to, say, Las Vegas or Denver.
I'm Brian Bolter, and I like this guy, Brian Bolter, from Fox 5 here in D.C.
He's fine.
He's good. He's got, like, a smirk, but they always give him the stuff, like, when it's 10 minutes before the news. Those kitchen gadgets, do they really work? Tonight on Fox 5.
And after that, Will Thomas reports on a baby snakehead being found in a tributary of the Potomac River.
And then Will Thomas's nose falls off. Just like, oh, and when I got home last night, I finally saw the video. I saw it on Fuse. I didn't see it on MTV or VH1.
How was it?
It's hilarious. Okay. The Eminem video, the part with him in... Well, first off, there's a lot of his nose falling off on the dance floor when he's Michael Jackson, which is great. And the part where he's on the bed with the kids, it's him sitting wearing the Sergeant Pepper jacket.
Right,
like
the red and sparkly.
Yeah,
one,
right. And the kids are jumping up and down behind him on the bed, like, hey, we're having a great time. And his hair is on fire while he's sitting on the edge of the bed.
I love it.
It's great.
Well, in Denver, Acorn says it's fired the workers responsible for the voter fraud there. Colorado's Secretary of State says she'll look at ways to reform the system. But in the end, the next president of the United States could be chosen by the tiny New England state of Maine.
Oh, hi there.
That's John Kerry.
Like a lot of states, Maine has a mostly Democratic populated area, and then there's the rest of the state, sparsely populated, but mostly Republican. Unlike most other states, though, Maine can split its four electoral votes, with one candidate getting three of the votes, for example, and the other candidate getting one vote. And today, We're hearing that that one vote could decide the presidency for the nation. That vote belongs to the sparsely populated region, which usually votes Republican and lost in the last election. But this time, the vote in that part of Maine is just as close as it is nationwide.
So is that now a battleground state?
Yes, it is.
Wow. The battleground state of Ohio. The battleground state of Wisconsin.
Oh, hi to everybody on WZAN.
A political science professor in Maine says that this time, because of the economy in that state, Kerry may have the edge. The sky is falling, declared Chicken Little, and with that he closed his Senate office and announced he was staying away until after the November 2nd election.
What is the deal with this guy?
Glad you asked. Minnesota Senator Mark Dayton says that after reading a top-secret terrorism update, he's moving his office elsewhere for now.
No, he's not retarded.
The only one. And the Democrat says that since he couldn't get the Senate's Republican leader to sit down and talk about this, he decided to take matters into his own hands. Republican Mark Warner of Virginia says his office has also been mentioned as a target, but that he sees no need to, quote, take extraordinary steps like closing his office.
John Warner.
Yeah. But, yes, I'm sorry.
May.
By the way, the meeting that Senator Dayton had requested is now going to be held, perhaps because he did this.
Well, I'm watching the guys on the Hill that are talking about this, and they're all saying we see all the same intelligence, and we've seen nothing that really changes.
Right.
This.
We're not hiding under our desks.
One guy.
It seems to me a United States senator can really start a panic if he wants to.
And again, he's from the state of
Minnesota,
and his last name is
Little Chicken Little. No, his real last name is Dayton. Mark Dayton.
Yeah, but it's not laughing. BOV take six.
Dayton.
Mark Dayton.
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 Senator Dayton.
Dayton.
Dayton is a game that grown-ups play.
Worth it.
Dayton means fun.
Thank you, Mike.
I really think it was worth it.
It's a long way to go.
Dayton makes a gal start way to walking. Then knock away.
We don't have time for the whole thing today, but Dayton. And don't forget tonight,
yes,
if there's a moment when Bob Schieffer needs to collect himself.
I'm Bob Schieffer, and now we're going to have a brief interlude.
Now I'm scared.
Next question from President Bush.
A nice break. Fox News talk show host Bill O'Reilly is suing one of his associate producers and her lawyer, accusing them of extortion. O'Reilly claims they threatened him with a sexual harassment lawsuit if he didn't come up with $60 million.
Young girl's dead. I'm responsible.
$60 million to make it go away.
Hey, Dick. You're a moron.
O'Reilly is suing for unspecified damages.
I'm gay, so I want, you know, gay marriage so I can do X, Y, and Z.
But he says the accusation has damaged his reputation.
Follow me and smoke weed, take pills, drop out of school, kill people, and drink.
Caused him severe emotional distress.
You go right ahead and make out in front of my 3-year-old daughter. Go right ahead and do that.
And O'Reilly says the accusation has caused him great mental strain.
I smoke marijuana every other day.
I'd be used to the mental strain.
I'm an incompetent boob. Please, you know, replace me.
America.
Oh, hold on. He's got one more. We're heading into the holiday season.
Yes.
Have a happy abortion for Christmas.
Oh, Bill O'Reilly.
Thank you.
Oh. America has apparently looked at itself in a mirror and decided not to get any fatter. After 10 years of buying more fast food, we've at least leveled off. We aren't even eating at other restaurants as much. A new report says we've stemmed the tide, plateauing at an overweight population of 62%.
Obviously, they did no polling in this building.
That number had been rising. Now, at least, it's holding steady.
Right.
The report says 27% of us admit we are now counting calories.
You're a bunch
of... Do not drink any alcoholic beverages.
Yes, she is.
Do not eat butter, margarine, oils, lard, or fat of any kind.
Oh, did you hear it? Not a joke. Maybe, I don't even know if you have this in your news show today, Buzz.
Bananas, grapes, watermelon, or any fruit other than grapefruit or cantaloupe.
The new diet...
Do not eat pizza.
No, what's the newest diet?
The new diet is 85 bites, where they say you can have anything... You want, within reason. Like, you couldn't have 85 bites of cake, you know, for your day.
85 bites a day?
85 bites a day. It's all just another carny way of getting you to portion control.
I'm down with that diet, though, because I can unhinge my jaw.
That's the hard part.
85 bites a day, right.
You can eat anything you want?
That's what the lady said.
85 bites. So we got to try that experiment. I see a food experiment coming up.
Go ahead if you want to try.
85. No, I'm not trying. I'm on my diet now.
85 bites a day.
Mm-hmm.
This is my computer.
85 megabytes.
No, just bites.
And then something even more moronic. I'll have to remember it. The sidebar to that was also you count the number of chews.
Oh.
It's like 85 bites, but you're supposed to chew every time 20 times. It's like, God, it gets to be a hassle. You know,
it's like
with my herpes pills.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah,
12 pills were a hassle.
And now you're down to 2 pills a day.
It's not a hassle, and I don't even have the outbreak that much.
But you know what? If you have to count bites and chews, uh-huh, then the one staple will work for you, Rob.
What's that?
Butter.
You don't chew it 1,700 times, I'm done eating for the day. That's good. Butter. And I vary. I use salted and unsalted.
Yeah, that's hey, variety's the spice of life.
So 27% of us are counting calories, and that number hasn't been that high in 5 years. According to report's author, America just couldn't continue to put on the weight. When we come back...
Well, again, take a walk around this building someday.
What are they talking about?
When we come back, the government does something about the nasty pop-up ads.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I see fish.
Good night, ladies.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my God. It's Don and Mike.
Right. Let's see. We want to thank today being on the show, Mankind, Mick Foley.
Good guy.
His new book, Tales from Rescue Lane. It's a kid's book.
Yeah, I'm getting home to my kids tonight.
Be out next week, the 19th. Get it at Amazon.com. Deep Goth, TacklingMen'sHealth.com. 1-866-NFL-HELP. Also, pleased to be watching Nancy O'Dell tonight on Access Hollywood. Check your local listings. And Rich Eisen Show, which is NFL Total Access. That's tonight on the NFL Network. For information, go to NFL.com. Eventually, all of those sites will be linked to DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Very good.
If you go there now, you'll see a nice, pretty logo.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're going to see for about 3 weeks.
Are our pictures done yet?
They're being developed.
Very good. Looking forward to it.
Here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Buzz's pictures are pretty.
I'm sure they are.
He had props.
He is a pretty man.
We didn't have any props.
Right.
Give him your props.
I had obscene props.
Did you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, actually, one of Buzz's pictures, he's got his hookah.
Yeah.
And his bottle of absinthe.
And then there's that one on the bearskin rug. I love that one.
My favorite.
It's cheeky.
It sure is. The federal government's not doing something about the problem of internet spyware. Spyware mostly gets into your computer through pop-up ads and can quietly take control of your computer and or allow the sender to spy on your internet habits.
Wow. Hold on. I got to tell you.
What?
Norton Antivirus, we re-upped it.
Good.
AdSomething.com, we re-upped it. Pop-up Blocker 86, whatever it is,
mm-hmm,
we re-upped it. I ran the whole goddamn system again today,
mm-hmm,
and it says, you know, 5 viruses found, quarantine, everything. Then it comes up, incidentally, Trojan horse.
Yes.
It's still in there. It can't. It's telling me, after Norton does the sweep,
mm-hmm,
it's telling me we did the sweep, and oh, incidentally, we can't figure out how to get rid of this virus called Trojan horse.
And a new batch of Trojan horse was just sent out. If you get anything in the subject line about David Beckham being caught with, I think, a Spanish hooker.
That's right, Rob.
Yeah, is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Well, I didn't, but
don't
it,
open
it,
that Beckham email.
It's been in there for a while. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to turn this into a goddamn techno show, but exactly how do I get rid of this Trojan horse?
I don't have any internet service.
I may be able to help.
Oh, not at all?
No, my satellite internet is not working.
Oh, dear.
Well, that's not a very good...
No, I mean, it sucks.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of it. I'm waiting for somebody, some genius out there, to just create the perfect internet experience.
It's called dial-up.
dial-up.
Now, granted, it's not quite as fast, but goddamn, it's reliable.
I'm going to cable.
And do what I do. After every three or four clicks, I save everything. I back it up on a cassette tape.
All right.
I back mine up on an 8-track. Oh, wow. And, Bud, you use reel-to-reel, don't you?
It's actually a wax tube that I use. Wow. I actually use stone tablets.
Hold on. Here's somebody maybe with an idea that can help. Tell me, Buzz, if this guy... Kurt, what should I get?
Hey, the best antivirus I use for work, so I work for a security company, is called McAfee.
You heard of that one, Buzz?
I have.
Go to McAfee.com, look for the program ASAP, ASAP. It is the best on the map.
Thank you.
It's good, but it's about the same as Norton, and if you get Norton Internet Security, which is another package you can buy, that should take care of that problem.
All right, thank you.
The proceeding was a paid commercial announcement.
For McAfee and its competitor, Norton.
Hello, Norton.
Norton.
I know that you know.
Oh, you want me to...
Right.
Jonathan.
Don and Mike. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Hey, Norton and all of them, they can't get rid of Trojan horses. The only way to get rid of them is go to Microsoft's website and download the little updates. It's beyond all... No, you have to go get the specific one. Microsoft's website, do a search for whatever the name of it is.
I don't even know how to
Nothing's
do this
easy.
Crap.
Nothing's
all right,
easy.
Well, I'm following this
Norton
guy.
Doesn't do it. I wanted
to send a picture to a friend of mine, and I couldn't do it the other day. I couldn't email
That's
him.
Too bad. Rob sent me a great...
Stop it, Buzz. Go ahead, Buzz.
Rob sent me a great picture the other day.
Really?
I go to the Mike...
Better than a feel-good.
Where do I go?
Microsoft's website, Microsoft.com.
Right, I've been there.
Do a specific search for the name of the Trojan horse that Norton gives you, and 9 times out of 10, you can get an update or remove it out of your computer.
But what about the 10th time?
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, as for this spyware that comes through pop-ups, so faster than you can say there ought to be a law, turns out there already was one on the books. The Federal Trade Commission says it'll use existing fair trade laws to go after these spies. In fact, yesterday, the government shut down one of the biggest distributors of spyware in this country and says one official, it won't be our last.
Oh, good. Well, it's about time they started policing the Internet.
No kidding. Hey, if you're gay, you can either thank or blame your mother. A new study
Thanks,
says...
Fran. Even though you're not really my mom, she's my adopted mother.
Thank you.
No, it'd have to be your genetic mother. A new study says that this...
Mike, hold on. Mike wanted to thank someone.
Yeah? Thank you, Mary.
New study says that despite the previously challenged evidence, there is a genetic code to make a guy gay.
Of course there is.
And you get that X chromosome from your mom.
What is El Hefe's mom's name?
The study from a London University...
Alexia. Alexia Jimenez.
The study only dealt with men, but they suspect a similar cause for women who are lesbians, and they admit that a child's upbringing also does play a role. The study looked at the DNA from about 100 gay men and about 100 straight men.
Here's your Barbie, son.
The study also found that a boy's interest in sex before the age of 10, if a boy becomes interested in sex before he turns 10,
yes,
that's usually a predictor of homosexuality, they found in this study.
Really?
What you'd be interested in that?
That would not work with my group of friends.
I'm trying to think.
I'm remembering back.
I don't think I was before 10. I don't think so.
I was not having sex, but I certainly understood what was going on.
But I mean, shortly thereafter, it's all I thought about.
Me too.
And that continues to this very day.
68, I was 10. That would be the summer of love.
In sports, the Yankees and the Sox, game 2 tonight. And a pro wrestler has been accused of stabbing his opponent 14 times.
Wasn't Mick Foley, was it?
No, it wasn't. 14 times with a prop knife. This is not the WWE.
14. Ooh, that hurts.
This is the more hardcore Thunder Wrestling Federation, which uses prop knives, prop chains, prop bats, and faked barbed wire in an otherwise real wrestling match. The 41-year-old Jerome Young, who goes by the name New Jack, is in jail on $40,000 bond as he prepares to face a charge of aggravated battery. He told police this is a dangerous sport, but not violent.
Are you Jack?
New Jack.
Oh, New Jack.
Yeah.
Hey, nice city, incidentally.
Yes, it is.
What's the difference between a prop knife and a real knife?
The prop knife folds in, but this guy, his flesh was punctured 14 times by the prop knife.
That's too many.
Too many.
And the guy who got stabbed 14 times was taken to a hospital where he was treated and eventually released.
I'll let the guy go.
Finally, Talk about your slippery roads. I could have ended today's report with a story about a truck spilling pig guts in Arkansas. That happened, but I can do better. In California, a trucker is going to have to pay a huge fine after spilling what's described as, quote, a large quantity of human fecal matter on a highway. 45-year-old Danny Lloyd Peets.
Danny.
Was driving his Peterbilt north on Highway 99 in Wilbur, California. Headed for the sewage treatment plant.
Danny.
When another vehicle pulled out in front of him. And no sooner had he said a word you might say in that situation, the thing that word describes was all over the road, all 20 cubic yards of it.
Ew.
The cleanup involved a snow plow and a dump truck.
Hello.
Police say the driver was cited for, and I quote, having a leaky load. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Now we're laughing.
Wow.
Gotta go. It's enough retardation for today. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode.
Everybody.
Guests in the Jeopardy thing tomorrow. Be a good one. And, let's go Red Sox, Mike.
Go Sox. Gotta win tonight.
Let's go, Kerry. Stay tuned for Ron and Fez coming up next.
Right.
In Washington, Baltimore, and Tampa Bay. We'll see you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 And, of course, when I said, let's go, Carrie, I was talking about Carrie, your wife.
Amen.
I don't like
you. You what?
I don't like
me. You don't like me. Okay,
that's it.
Thank you.
Cook your peas.
Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.